about. You gotta put it in perspective.
What is going on here? What is happening here?
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
Point values are double. We got top 7 answers on the board. Name something a doctor might pull out of a person. Larson.
A gerbil.
Hello.
I got a heating pad on my feet.
I can hear you.
That sounds great.
Hot, you know? I mean, I'm hot, but like approachable hot. Like the hottest girl in your improv class hot. Like hot to the kind of guys who like feel bad calling a girl hot. But, like beer commercial hot.
And now,
warning, side effects may include nausea, dizziness, tooth loss, dropsy, unexplained redundancy, toe jam, excessive earwax, excessive belly button lint, genital bloat, brain tooth, stigmata, anal snoring, blue urine, bleeding eyes, dangerously high sperm count, dangerously low sperm count, raccoon hands, and dry mouth.
Our feature presentation.
Well, you don't want the anal snoring, I do know that. I don't know a lot, but I do know that's not a desired side effect. Hey, party people, welcome on into yet another all-new Kevin and Bean show. This time, we're doing it for a Wednesday morning. Hey, Allie McKay.
Hey, Bean, how are you?
What's going on?
Just, you know, hanging out, getting things done. I don't know where Kevin is.
Did we lose another one?
I hope not.
We're turning into the Malaysian Airlines here.
Good Lord. Well, CNN is outside, so I'm not sure.
Kevin will be back, we are told. He had out-of-town business that must be attended to. So no fears, no worries. But we're here. We got a big show planned for you today. Got a great story to get us started. I have often been fascinated with these stories of alimony. I don't know what the answer is, but sometimes it seems to me that the person who makes the money shouldn't have to give half of that money away to the person that doesn't. Now, maybe I say that as the person who makes the money. Maybe that's where this is coming from.
Might be.
But I get the situation where, you know, and I know sometimes the wage earner can be either person in a relationship, but I get the situation where somebody doesn't have a career and doesn't go to school and doesn't do a lot of things because they have been dedicated to being a support system for the earner. Or they've stayed home and raised the kids and therefore they don't have the earning power. And I get that that person needs to be taken care of. But I see stories like this one. This is a hedge fund billionaire. His name is Kenneth Griffith. He and his wife, Anna, have been married for 12 years. Okay?
Okay.
They have 4 kids and also 4 nannies, by the way. And they are now divorcing. Mrs. Griffin is claiming expenses of nearly $1 million a month.
Wow.
Saying that's how much she needs to support. I apologize. 3 children. Only 3 children. Still 4 nannies, but only 3 children.
Well, that makes more sense. Okay.
That's how much she needs to support herself and the 3 children. The kids are all under 10. Again, the couple has been married for less than 12 years, 11 years and some change. Here's the budget that she has asked for in their divorce settlement. $300,000 a month for a private jet.
Okay.
I don't think about private jets. I know they're expensive to run. But is that taking it out every weekend to go someplace?
Do you rent it by the month? Do you rent it by fuel? I, unfortunately, am not privy to private jets.
I'm just wondering how much flying around you're doing for $300,000 a month. She's also asking for, again, this is for a month, $160,000 for vacation accommodations.
Each month.
This isn't a place where, yes, this isn't a place where they're living. This is where they're going on vacation.
Okay.
$60,000 a month for office space and professional staff. $14,000 a month for groceries and dining out.
Concerning that is less than vacation.
You have to feed your kids.
You would think, yes, and it should at least be more than what you're going to spend monthly on a vacation.
$14,000 a month for groceries and dining out. $2,000 a month for stationery. Now, how many letters do you have to write to spend $2,000 on envelopes and paper? That's what stationery is, right?
I'd be writing a lot of thank you notes with that money.
It's just it's I don't know what the answer is. It's very possible. They live, by the way, in case you're curious, they live in the state of Illinois, where the law says that alimony and child support is calculated based on the standard of living the family would have enjoyed had the marriage not been dissolved.
Right. I think one of those what you've grown accustomed to rulings. But right. Is it also one of those states where after 10 years, that's when the money kicks in?
I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised. And it's interesting that they didn't break up before 10 years, because he certainly should have been aware of that.
Right.
he should have thought about that before he let it get to 11 years or so. He says, by the way, that not only is this an exorbitant amount to ask, but that she is personally worth more than $50 million, and she can certainly cover more of her own expenses. So they're hashing it out in court, but it is an interesting insight into the way the other half lives, because there are people out there who are spending $14,000 a month on eating.
Wow.
Which, it's unbelievable to think about living like that. So,
does it say how old the kids are?
It says they're all under 10. Three kids under 10.
Okay. So in terms of, I don't know how it all works, but if you had a prenup, would this part be null and void? You'd have everything worked out.
Yes, that's
then
right.
Then he's an idiot.
That's right. Yes.
He's an idiot, period.
And the three kids under 10, I mean, I know that there are expenses associated with your kids, but it seems like most of the expenses would be when the kids are older. Am I wrong about that? Because they're not paying for college and things like that with this money.
No, I'm sure they're set up in funds anyway. But yeah, well, she's obviously going a bit overboard, but he probably could have had a prenup, and she should have probably as well with $50 million.
Yeah, it's too late for that now. So now they're just going to haggle it out over what percentage of $1 million a month she's going to get for alimony and child support.
Wow.
So I'll keep my eyes peeled and see if I see any kind of update on that story and see how the happy couple is progressing. I think I'm not saying anyone should kill anybody, but I am saying somebody should force somebody to marry somebody else so you're off the hook. That's what I'd say.
See.
All right, let's talk about today's all-new Kevin and Bean show, shall we?
It's stupid, but we like it.
We do like it. And today, thanks to our friend Brian Regan's conversation yesterday about the 11 chocolate ice Krispy Kreme donuts that he ate in one sitting, we want to talk to you about your binge eating records on the Kevin and Bean Show today. Everybody has gone through a phase where something has just tasted too good to put it away, and you end up eating a crazy amount. So we're going to take your calls on that today. One of our all-time favorites, Phil Kogan, is going to be joining us in studio today. Allie, you watch The Amazing Race?
I do, and I love that there's a twist this year.
Yes, an interesting twist that they've never done before, which I think is going to be a lot of fun. Also, one of the new kids is a contestant this year.
Of course he is.
So Phil Kogan will be in studio talking all things Amazing Race. That's coming up on the program. Ronda Rousey on the program today. She, of course, is fighting in UFC 184. She is fully convinced she will never lose a UFC fight, and so far she's been right. Got a new Bean Makes His Guess on the program today. Our friend Adam Carolla will be here. And we also are going to give away another trip to New Orleans. Every day this week, we are hooking you up with a trip to one of America's great cities, New Orleans, Louisiana, including airfare, hotel, and spending cash, courtesy of our friends at the movie Focus. That's coming up. And Ralph's got the Showbiz Beat next, right after this on K-Rock. Love those strokes. Hey, it's the world-famous K-Rock at 106.7 KROQ. And not that kind of strokes, Ralph, at 5:53. Time for a first look at the Showbiz Beat here on a Wednesday morning. What the hell is going on?
I miss Dick Clark's countdown.
Oh, jeez.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Strokes always make me think of rocking New Year's Eve.
They do. Don't they still call it Dick Clark's Rockin' New Year's Eve?
They
still got the name on the show, right?
Yes. I think that was part of Dick's deal with the devil, that his his show must carry his names in perpetuity, as they say. Lindsay Lohan! It's in the news. Apparently, her lawyers are going into probation court today. This is going to be my favorite thing of all time, because this is where her lawyers are going to argue that she was performing community service to fulfill her obligation for her probation while she was on stage performing. Now, previously we heard she was claiming that the meet and greets after her performances of Speed the Plow in the UK were considered community service. Now they're going to say that she should get credit for being on stage.
But wasn't it just a job? She was just showing up to work and getting paid for it? How is that a service to the community?
That's what prosecutor Terry White would like to know.
Hmm.
According to sources, he has combed through the 240 hours at the London-based community service organization where Lindsay was trying to fulfill her obligations. And on one day, he will reportedly tell the judge today, Lindsay got 6 hours credit. Two of the hours were for her matinee performance. And another two of the hours were for her evening performance. And the remaining 2 hours were for a meet and greet afterwards. So now not only is she claiming that pressing the flesh with her fans after a performance was community service, but being on stage was a community service.
That's ballsy.
That is spectacular. So we will see what happens at the end of court today, but I'm hoping for a murder charge.
I don't think that happens.
Just let me dream!
Okay, all right.
Hey, did you see the new video of Michael Keaton putting away his acceptance speech at the Academy Awards?
Yeah.
I did.
That's sad. It's hilarious. What do you mean sad? It's hilarious.
Is it?
Yes.
Why?
I mean, I like Michael Keaton.
It's sad that he won so many awards leading up to the thing and then didn't win the Oscar. And
that
this
part
is probably
is sad, but if you've got your acceptance speech in your hand and you're ready to walk to the podium and they call someone else's name and you have to kind of coolly put it back in your inside pocket.
I think it's sad.
That's funny.
Oh,
you love Michael Keaton. You
don't
think about Michael Keaton being sad.
But I like people who fall on the sword of their own expectations.
Yeah. Why wouldn't you be unassuming and leave it in the pocket?
Exactly.
You get to the stage?
How much time do you need to get it out of your pocket?
Oh, that hurts.
That's like the kiss of death. You're asking to not get the Oscar if you've got your Academy Award acceptance speech in your hand already. You know how you win? You don't write one. I see that on every award show. I had no idea I was going to win. I didn't write anything. That's how you win, Michael Keaton.
By the way, I think I would have voted for Eddie Redmayne for that Oscar.
Look,
anyway, I think degree of difficulty in performance.
Yes.
I know Michael Keaton was great in Birdman, but I don't know that Michael Keaton could have played that Eddie Redmayne role. I'll tell you that.
Look, I don't think that's the reason Oscars are fun to watch. But you really can't say one performance is better than another. It's every role has its own unique requirements and demands, and some actors are better equipped to perform. I don't think Eddie Redmayne could have done Birdman.
No.
Yeah, I think you're right about that.
He wouldn't have brought that character to life. So you can't really say one's better than the other. That's why I think we can't get all too serious or sad about who wins or loses when it comes to these things. So, but I just thought it was kind of funny. He had to go, boop, and put it back in the inside of his pocket when he didn't hear his name. That just made me laugh. Hey, rumors, speaking of movies, rumors that Jamie Dornan may not return to 50 Shades of Grey.
Oh, the ladies are going to burn this country down if that happens.
Burn it down. Jamie Dornan reportedly was bowing out of any plans to star in the sequel to the film because his actress and musician wife, Amelia Warner, uncomfortable with the outcome of the first film. Now, this story originally came from an Australian tabloid called NW Magazine. However, his representatives are telling everyone Jamie has not quit the sequels, that the stories are based only on conjecture. So if you are a huge 50 Shades of Grey fan, you are probably not listening to our show anymore. But I'm just telling you, relax. It's all good. Jamie Dornan will return.
So we can expect more amazing chemistry with their press junkets.
Yes, they will seem like they actually have met each other before. It'll be very entertaining. Today's celebrity birthdays, actor Sean Astin, 44 years old today. He's a hobbit, don't you know?
He sure is.
Actress Rashida Jones. She returned for a little, hi, how are you, for the finale of Parks and Rec. Nice to see her again, 39 years old today.
How was the finale, Ralph? I haven't seen it yet. It was just on last night.
Yeah, I don't know. I just know that she was back in it, and Rob Lowe came back, too.
What about little Sebastian?
You know what?
Dream sequence?
You know what, Ally McKay? I did not watch, so I don't have any more details.
What if I just keep naming
I will probably
still?
Be just as ignorant as I am now. But thanks for your help.
What about Fred? You come back?
Comedian Carrot Top is 50 years old today.
What? And we're still working today?
Should we take the day off for Carrot Top?
Doesn't it seem like that should be a holiday?
Everybody grab a prop. Actress Taya Leone is 49 years old. She's Madam Secretary. Is that show still on the air?
Boy, I'm not sure.
I don't know either. And unfunny whore Chelsea Handler celebrates her 40th birthday. Chelsea Handler says she's 40? That's the funniest thing she's ever said. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Hey, party people. Thanks for tuning in to the Kevin and Bean Show here on a Wednesday morning on the world-famous K-Rock. I like to think of myself as being fairly open-minded musically, Ali. I like a lot of different kinds of music. People are surprised sometimes to hear that I'm really into country music, for instance. I like classical. I like jazz.
You mentioned Physical Graffiti yesterday.
I'm obviously a huge rock and roll fan as well. But I have to tell you that my limits are just before Yoko Ono. That's Yoko Ono, I have to say, is I just don't get. I know she's coming from a different place. She's coming from a lot of Eastern influence. She's a Japanese lady, was raised with avant-garde music and has been an artist and has been a lot of things. There's a lot of things I like about Yoko Ono. I like a lot of things that she stands for, a lot of work that she's done on behalf of her late husband, John Lennon. I don't get her music, and I feel like sometimes I wonder if the people who are taking her seriously, who seem to be enjoying their music, are just doing it because they think it makes them look hip. Does that make sense?
Like ironic, almost, yeah.
Maybe ironic. Maybe there are some of those people, but some people who think, wow, this is terrible, but I'll look like an idiot if I say that I don't like it. If you don't know what Yoko Ono sounds like, she's 82 years old now, by the way. This is from a performance at a museum a couple of years ago. She sounded a little bit like this. By the way, terrific way to wake up. So, needless to say, a lot of people throughout the years have been critical of that sound that Yoko Ono has. And this week, she's had enough. She released an open letter to her critics that basically said, please don't stop me from being the way I am. Don't stop me, she says. At my age, I should be a certain way. Please don't stop me being the way I am. I don't want to be old and sick like many others in my age. Please don't create another old people. When I am rocking on the stage, you are totally hard on me. You demand the musical standard of a classic musician and attack for the rhythm or some notes which are not precisely in tune. I am not concerned with what my voice is doing. If I was, what you would experience would not be. My voice will be dead once I am concerned about it in the way that you are asking me to be. Go to a classical concert if you want to hear a trained voice. And she just goes on and on and on. Also claims sexism, by the way, saying that older guys like Iggy Pop don't get blasted the way she does, even though they have a terrible voice. And it seems like she's just gotten to the point where she just can't take it anymore. She can't take people making fun of Yoko Ono as an artist anymore.
I can respect that. I can also respect maybe you don't have something that a lot of people like.
Yeah.
And you've also got to understand that.
It's a niche like, that's for sure. So we wanted to find out more, maybe get some clarification on some of the things in her speech here. So we thought, let's get our old friend Yoko Ono back on the phone. It's been a while since we talked to you. Hi, Yoko. Welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hello, good morning.
Hi, Yoko.
Hello, everyone who is there, who is now in a room who I am talking to.
Yes, that's right, Yoko. So what led you at this stage of the game at 82 years old to finally sit down and send an open letter to your critics?
I don't want anyone to make me not still be me. Mm-hmm. And I have the art in my soul that I must give to everyone who is ready to accept the gift that I wrap in a bow. And also I put in newspaper because I ran out of wrapping paper.
Now, do you think some of this pushback is just that you used to be married to a Beatle, a guy who made some of the most popular and accessible music of all time?
Some people say I broke up the Beatles, and they are
yes. Upset. Everybody says you broke up the Beatles. Yes.
Yes. So, lots of people judge me because of that, but my own music is the creation of my own head and my own hair, which is dense.
Okay, you lost me on that last part there.
Well, no, her hair is just dense. Maybe not a lot of conditioning.
Exactly.
Okay.
Oh,
don't try
okay.
to make me use conditioner. I am a free agent.
But it, like in that piece of tape that we just played from you a minute ago, you're just screaming. You're not really singing a song. There aren't any lyrics. It's just you yelling into a microphone. Like, help me. How is that music?
My music is otherworldly beautiful. I sing not on key, but around the keys. I'm like a key chain.
You're like key adjacent.
I am parked right next to a key.
But okay. Isn't that just another way, Yoko, to say that you can't carry a tune?
No, my tunes are carried in a different bag than yours. I have a backpack. I put my tunes in, and you carry yours in a cooler.
Okay. All right. Here's what you said in your letter this week. A critic of my show I did on my 80th birthday. You wanted me to be coming in at the same time on top of the bars with the tracks. Well, I like to syncopate my voice to come in before or after the music notes, not right on top of the tracks,
right.
You see.
Yes.
But isn't that just another way of saying you can't keep time with the music?
No. music can't keep time with me. And until it does, I refuse to bend. And my new songs are the best ones I've ever created at 82, and so I don't like the ageism.
Oh, you're working on more new music to record and release, Yoko?
Yes, I have a new song, and I think you will like it. I'd like to sing some for you now.
Oh, all right, I'll give it a try, sure. Ow. Ow.
Hey, he's got a head. Shake it off. Shake it off.
Wait a minute.
Yoko, that's not new. That just sounds, you're singing a Taylor Swift song you heard on the radio, it sounds like.
Yeah, it sounds better than that, bitch.
Dreaded hand claps.
Double clap, baby.
How does Beer Mug live with himself knowing that Phil Kogan is coming in today with all the help that Phil has offered Muggs over the years? And Muggs is back there just stuffing his face with Pop-Tarts right now.
I think Phil's an exceptionally nice guy.
He is.
And Beer Mug has given up on life. So I think those two things are mutually exclusive now.
Phil Kogan from The Amazing Race. New season starts this Friday night. We'll talk to him later on today's program. Also, Ronda Rousey from the UFC will be here, and Adam Carolla as well. I thought this was interesting. This is a new survey from Match.com, you guys, who have collected data over the past 5 years about singles in America. Now, this is a survey that they did with thousands and thousands of people. This is not from their own users. This is just from the general population. By the way, these days, did you know, according to Match.com, of course, it would behoove them to say this, but their data sounds right to me. More people have met their significant other through an online dating site than have met through friends.
Hold on.
As of 2014, yes.
Hold the phone.
Yes.
It's significant other meaning husband, wife.
A boyfriend, girlfriend, or husband, yes, yes.
That more people currently in the world, in America?
No. Last year. More people who hooked up through online dating than through being introduced by friends, which for many, many years was the number one way that people met somebody.
I'm surprised.
I don't know.
Thought that
I
was interesting. Really?
What else is Match.com going to say?
Yeah.
All right, our program doesn't work.
Please
enjoy.
10% of the time.
Well, they took a survey about all sorts of things that had to do with relationships and sex and dating, and I thought some of this data was pretty interesting. For instance, what percentage of single men say that they have faked an orgasm? What percentage of single men say they have faked an orgasm?
30%?
Yeah.
Allie McKay?
Yes.
That's
madness.
Well,
you're just not getting the job done then.
That's madness.
That sounds like it's on you.
I've seen you milk a goat, so I know what the problem
people
is.
Have. Just Google it.
I would say 12%.
Allie is closer. 35%
what?
Of single men said that they have faked an orgasm.
Wow. Who has to?
I don't know. I can't imagine a scenario.
I could have an orgasm right now just by concentrating hard.
Don't, though.
Hardly.
Please.
All right, next up. Allie, a point for Allie there.
Thank you.
All right. Next up, what percentage of men, according to Match.com, are comfortable if and when a woman asks them out? A lot of people think that that's a turnoff for men, that they don't want a lady to come and ask them out. They prefer to be the person who initiates the contact. But what percentage of men say they are comfortable if and when a woman asks them out?
Oh, I think most guys would like that. They would dig it. I would say 60%.
I think it's higher, but I also think they're lying.
What?
Yeah,
really?
I think
guys
always say, oh, I want the woman to take the initiative. I want her to
when
be the
aggressor.
When
I was single, I loved when women would suggest we get together.
Most don't.
All right, what's your number
I'm
then?
Going 84%.
84%?
And I think they're lying.
Who are lying, and I say 60% are real. Okay, now I'm confused. Go, B.
Allie again for the win.
What?
90%
is
the number
given. Do I understand men or what for
know.
A lady that's alone?
And why can't you have a date?
It's so true.
All right. Let's see. What percentage? Here's a good one. What percentage of singles? So this is men and women combined. What percentage of singles find it a turnoff when the other person checks their phone too frequently during a date?
Oh, I would think a turnoff. The vast
majority.
Hope
that's high.
Yeah.
I would hope.
90%.
93.
Well, Ralph wins this one. 72% say they consider it a turnoff.
That's all?
And I wonder if that's just because some of the people surveyed are people who are on their phones all the time, so they get it.
I see. tit for tat, as it were.
Exactly.
Right.
Let's see. What percentage of women believe that you can stay married to the same person forever?
Mm. Women.
Women.
Yes.
Well, women's want to believes.
I believe we want to believe, and I believe we will say 83.
Mm. 83, that's a lot. Okay.
You know, I think today's modern woman realizes that they don't have what it takes to hold a man. So I would say 70.
My thought on this was, whether you want to believe that or not, everything around you points to the fact that that's not the case. The fact that your parents are being divorced, the fact that your friends are being divorced, in some cases your grandparents are being divorced.
But the fantasy, the hope springs eternal, Bean. Look at the movies, look at the TV.
Are you ready for this? 90% of women believe that you can stay married to the same person forever.
I like that. That means that there's still hope. We believe.
There's still ignorance in the world.
Two ways to look at it, Ralph. Two ways.
All right, a couple more. Again, this is Match.com, thousands of singles, new survey on how men and women review relationships and sex.
You're right.
What percentage of single women say that they are actively seeking a relationship? Single women that are actively seeking a relationship.
I'm going to need a definition of actively. Please use it in a sentence. Like how are they pursuing it versus
if it happens, fine, but they're not actively pursuing it. Like, they're not going on Match.com and they're not, you know, doing speed dating and everything. They're not, like, it's not that important to them, I think, is what
that would be my read too of actively seeking a relationship.
Right.
73.
See, I think women today realize they don't need a man to make them happy to complete their life. It's not necessary. It's nice, but it's not absolutely necessary. So I would say it's less than that. I would say it's 60%.
Point for Ralph, but the reality on this answer is 16%.
Wow!
How about that?
16% are actively pursuing
They are actively seeking a relationship. 60, that means a lot of people are just like, no, I'm cool.
Women do not need men is what we're finding out at all. We're lucky. All right. We're lucky if they spend time with us.
It sounds like it, yeah.
That's true.
All right, one more. What percentage of single women say they do not judge a man by the car he drives? They do not judge a man by the car he drives. Yeah, I do wonder. Look, I do wonder if they're saying what they think is true versus what really is true. Mm-hmm. And for both sides, for men and women in a survey like this. It's hard to get the actual real hard truth out of human beings.
Right. They don't judge a man by his car.
So they meet you, Ralph. They like you. They say, yeah, pick me up tonight at 8. Then you pull up in a junker.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a big turnoff for them?
Or do they go, well, the car's not important. If I wake up in a new Bugatti, is that better than the junker?
Exactly.
Oh, I think women, although they don't need men, can be shallow sometimes when it comes to the things material. And I would say, okay, what's the question again?
What percentage of single women do not judge a man by the car he drives?
Judge a man by the car he drives. I would say 25% do not.
All right.
I'm going to go less because if this was only a survey in L.A., I'd go different.
Yes.
But I'm thinking of Murka, and I'm going to go 16.
16%.
Well, I guess Ralph gets the point, but you're both way off. According to those surveyed by Match.com, 60% of single women do not judge a man by the car he drives.
They're lying.
That's a bunch of Mother Teresa's right there,
totally
right?
Totally backwards.
It's a bunch of hooey.
I'm bad at math.
You think it's a bunch of hooey?
I think it's a bunch of hooey.
You think, like Dr. House taught us, everybody lies?
That's right. Shenanigans. I'm calling shenanigans.
Well, there you go. Well done, guys. Hey, party people. Wednesday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. It's 106.7 KROQ. Kevin is out of town for a couple of days, but he'll be back, we think, on Friday. Hey, Allie McKay, I got a question for you.
I've got an answer.
Do you use the emojis when you text or tweet? I don't recall that I've seen them on any of your stuff.
I am an emoji user. I usually just use my recent emoji file. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of stuck on a few emojis that I like.
I'm not a huge emoji person. I know that there are some people who just can't send a text or a tweet without at least 3, 4, 5, or 10 emojis to express all the things that they don't have room to write. I'm a up and down smiley face guy, for instance.
Sure.
I think that's a standard.
I like a thumbs up.
Yeah, a thumbs up is fine.
I like the poop.
Well, there have been some. Do you use the poop?
I do.
Really? What would be an example of using the emoji poop?
How was your day?
And you did put a poop on there.
Yep. Well, it's got eyes.
There have been a lot of people recently, and I guess this is nothing new. We happen to be talking about emojis because that's the currency of conversation now. But I mean, you know, going back to, hey, why are all the dolls white? Where are the more diverse dolls? Well, now that has come to emojis. And it was uncovered this week that there is a new beta of OS 10 that is going out to developers that has a major new feature, which is lots and lots of diverse emojis. All sorts of people of every shade of color that people come in. So now if you're, a little Asian girl and you want an emoji that looks like you, now you're going to have one to choose from, which just does nothing but make sense, right?
Sure.
Same thing with your little thumbs up. Why would an African-American user want a white thumbs up when they could have a black thumbs up? They also have expanded the diversity to include different kinds of families, too. The little emojis that have a families. Now there's a family with two dads, or there's a family with two moms, or there's the previously traditional family of the man and the woman. So they're just expanding it for more options, which I just think makes a lot of sense, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And a bunch of new country flags as well. So Apple is doing their part for diversity. But anytime something comes in the news that involves diversity, we have one person that we go to who always sets us straight on what we can and can't do, what we should and shouldn't think. And that's our friend Bruce Endicott, who joins us on the phone from Coffee. Hi, Mr. Endicott. Welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show, sir. How are you?
Thank you so much, Kevin and Bean, for having me back on your show.
Now, a lot of our listeners may have heard the name Coffee, but might not remember just right off the top of their head what that stands for. Could you help us with that?
Right. Our organization is a social and educational organization helping people bridge the gap between race, sex, sexual orientation, anything that may separate us. And the Coffee, the acronym, stands for Caucasians Organizations for Friendship Enveloping Everyone.
Okay. So I would imagine...
We are a group of wealthy white people who are going to tell you how to interact because we have a better idea than you do, basically.
Well, that sounds a little bit racist the way you say it like that. You mean you're trying to tell everybody how they should interact with each other,
exactly.
Not just...
Exactly, yes. Especially okay. Other white people who seem just to be clueless. And it's just embarrassing sometimes to be whitey.
Bruce, you're absolutely right about that. A lot of times I think we put our foot in it just by accident. We're not trying to be insensitive, but sometimes we just do, and sometimes that's based on the own bias of our own life.
Exactly, and that's why I'm so thrilled that Apple, in their new beta version of the iOS, the operating system 8, will feature all these racially and sexually orientated diverse emojis.
I'm so glad to hear you say that because it makes nothing but sense to me to have why not put something out there that is more representative of your user base.
Exactly, and that's why I like the default emoji, which is a yellow-faced emoji that represents the Asian people, which I think is great.
Oh.
I've heard a complaint that really looks more like The Simpsons than it does any actual person on Earth.
I didn't know The Simpsons were Asian, but that's okay. All right, if you say so, then I believe you. You probably know more about these things than I do.
It is a bright yellow color.
Well, they are bright. I agree. And, I mean, look at the testing. I think that bears that out.
No, I meant the actual
color.
The color itself is bright.
Okay.
I believe you were going with a stereotype that Asians were bright.
Well.
Which is lovely, but... Maybe not really right?
Well, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, emoji is a popular surname in Japan. That's where it comes
from. I don't think that's true at all.
Emoji. I knew a man named Hirohito Emoji once, and he was actually my masseuse at the club, and he had hands like Mr. Miyagi. He could get you back on the course in no time.
Okay, again, it just seems like we're going...
He claps his hand and rubs them together, and then the next thing you know, the energy was just amazing.
Yeah, it sounds like you've just been watching too much Karate Kid.
This is great, I think, for a lot of minorities to be able to use pictures instead of words.
Okay, you understand that's not what anybody is suggesting, right?
I think they are. The more they can use pictures to show us what they want and what they're saying, then better than trying to use all those troublesome English words.
No, Bruce. People can still...
They can just point to their phone and go, and then they'll have a picture of something, like poop, for example, like your friend said. Then they're asking, where's the restroom, I'm guessing.
Okay, that's not what the emojis are for. The emojis are just an accent to just kind of complement the words that are also being texted or tweeted. That's all.
This isn't taking over speech.
Or are they modern cave drawings?
No, they're not modern cave drivers. Look, African Americans and Asians and Indians and everyone else, they use emojis the same way you or I do. It's not a substitute for speech. It's not because they can't communicate. It's just, it's an accent.
Anyway, I got something brand new here.
Right.
Three-piece girls, three-piece girl band. Mm-hmm. And they're from the UK, and they're called Grim Dillon. I once got in trouble for playing them.
Why?
Because every song they had before had a lot of four-letter words and a lot of play on radio.
Oh, you can't do that, Rodney.
So I had to quit playing them. Mm. But time has gone past, and they're older now. And they have no bad words.
Oh.
And here they are.
Oh.
Exclusive on the Rodney and the Rock Show.
No one else is playing them?
Grim Dillon. It's called Seasick.
Oh, I'm sorry. We're not going to have time to hear the number. I'm sorry, Roddy. Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat here on a Wednesday morning Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on, man?
We're having Grim Dillon in the sound space soon, aren't we? Doing a live
show. Oh, are we? I hope so.
I think Grim Dillon's
I hope they watch their language.
I do, too. They're bad little words.
Can't say those things on the radio, I heard.
Ozzy Osbourne's the best. He apparently was, this is kind of a dick move, I think, but someone called him out on the fact that he didn't wash his hands after using a public restroom. And he said all he needs to do is keep his private parts clean. And so he said he has very clean private parts, so he doesn't need to wash his hands.
Huh.
Okay.
If I'm in a men's room and Ozzy Osbourne is in there,
yes.
I'm not taking that opportunity to school a 75-year-old on etiquette.
Yo,
I'm
going
to say, hey, Ozzy, it's great to meet you.
How about
how I'm spending my time.
No, me, I'm one with this guy. Hey, how about killing some germs there, Osbourne? how about just a little wash?
Did he tweet it out? How do people know this?
I don't know. It's according to the National Enquirer. Someone called him out on not washing his hands in a public restroom, and he said he keeps his unit clean so he doesn't have to.
Oh, I don't need to know that.
Well, wouldn't you like to know that Ozzy Osbourne is a clean unit?
Nope.
Allie, what if you run across Ozzy in a club some night and one thing leads to another and the next thing you know, you're in the back of the Osmobile? And then wouldn't you like to know that that he's clean?
The unit's clean?
The unit's clean.
Well, now I know.
The Oz unit. By the way, Ozzy is, this cracks me up, he is converting a barn in England into a new home for him and his family. He's going to take $40,000 to renovate it. The first step... it's infested with bats.
And how appropriate.
He's got to spend $40,000 to safely remove the bats from the barn that will be his new home. Why doesn't he just get a fork and a knife and just get to work? He usually handles bats. The Osbournes, of course, returning with their show. They're doing another series of... Meet the Osbournes. What the hell was that show called? Keep the Osbournes?
Keeping up with the Osbournes?
I don't know. But I was thinking of reality television. The sources are saying Governor Chris Christie of New Jersey may film a TV show about his quest for the White House. If he runs, he may make a TV show out of it.
No way.
That's what the sources say.
Really?
Yeah.
So...
It would be like a 24/7, like on HBO when they have the boxing or Road to the Stadium series that Epix did with the Kings. It would be behind the scenes, all access, look into the political process of someone who wants to run for president.
That's a
modern way of thinking, isn't it?
Yeah. Hit the trail with Chris Christie. You should trademark that, Allie.
Done. Chip, get me that.
Another possible name for the show, apparently, is House of Carbs.
Oh,
because he's a big old fat person.
He's so fat.
Hey, but Chip, why isn't my camera working, Chip? What do you got going on over there? That's keeping my. There we go. Thank you so much.
If a little hand couldn't push
the buttons.
If a show like that were made and were popular or controversial or something like that, it would be endless free press for Mr. Christie.
Yeah,
I mean,
how could you air it? You'd have to air equal time for the other candidates, though, right?
Wondering about that too.
Hmm.
Interesting.
Are you familiar with Ms. Magazine?
Sure.
The feminist magazine that was started by feminist icon Gloria Steinem and Bella Abzug. Mm-hmm. There is a miniseries in development over at HBO about the story behind the creation of that magazine. And looks like Kathy Najimy, who, a funny lady. She's most recently, I guess you see her on Veep. as Matt Walsh's wife over on that show. She will play Bella Abzug, and they've just cast Marissa Tomei to play Gloria Steinem in the series. I think it's great casting. Should be very interesting. Ally McKay's doppelganger, Angela Kinsey, is in the news.
Love her.
You remember her from The Office.
It's not so much you love her, you just won't stop talking about how pretty you think she is.
She is a really attractive lady.
You guys look so much alike.
Do you think?
I don't know.
I just think she's pretty.
She's got an upcoming pilot for ABC called The 46 Percenters. Any guess on who the 46 Percenters are?
Wow, what a great question. Is this a segment of the American population?
Segment of the American population. She will play one of those.
Single moms.
But no, but it's a good guess.
I am going to say people who believe in aliens.
I would watch that. 46%.
That is so you, Bean. No, the 46%ers represent the 46% of the American population who choose to stay married versus getting divorced.
Ooh. Awkward.
That's our new number. Those people who are still married versus those who divorce are 46% of all marriages now stay together. So we're on the losing side. Losing side of the battle.
So far.
That's right. We can switch teams at any time.
Exactly. My wife's talking a lot about 45%. I don't know what she means by that.
Real quick email here before I get to the celebrity birthdays. I wanted to give the shout out.
Oh, don't look at any of her email this week, Ralph.
No, this is a good one from Peter Brillo. I like Peter. We were talking about Kylie Jenner buying a $2.7 million house in Calabasas at 17 years old. Peter had an interesting take on this. Hi, Ralph. You don't know just how upsetting it is that Kylie Jenner is buying a $2.7 million house in Calabasas. It further demonstrates the continued breakdown of the country and the banal tropes that pass for celebrity. I have to have such a sense of entitlement at such a young age and to flaunt it by choosing to live in a gated community separated by us little people, us unwashed masses. Well, Kylie Jenner is so snotty. See what he did there?
That's where we're going.
See what he did?
That was the payoff.
I do see what he did. Please put payoff in quotes, Allie.
I did.
Kylie Jenner is so snotty. I woke up in a new Bugatti. Kylie Jenner is so snotty. I woke up in a new Bugatti. That's what Peter did. I think we got a new one.
These are the new dark times.
Today's celebrity birthday is Sean Astin is 44 years old today. Actress Rashida Jones is 39. Chelsea Handler, comedian, is 40 years old. Comedian Carrot Top. Comedian is 50 years old. Actress Taya Leone is 49 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Hey, later this hour, how about a trip to New Orleans for free, courtesy of the film Focus, which looks awesome, by the way, the new Will Smith movie. It's going to include airfare, hotel, and $500 spending cash. Give you a chance to win that in less than 30 minutes from right now here on K-Rock. Ralph, you've got some cooked up for that, right?
Oh, yeah. We're going to play a little game because the movie's about con artists. So we'll be talking about con artists and the cons that they pull on people in that game. It's going to be fun.
Ronda Rousey on the program today. Our friend Phil Kogan from The Amazing Race and Adam Carolla as well. All right. So yesterday we had Brian Regan on the program. Hilarious comedian, by the way, playing the Dolby Theater this Saturday night. If you want to get tickets to go see Brian on stage, he's a very funny guy. And he was telling us that he is obsessed with Krispy Kreme chocolate ice donuts. And he says that sometimes he just gets the urge for those donuts and he'll get in his car in Las Vegas and drive down to the nearest donut shop and buy a dozen of them. And at one time, he ate 11 of those Krispy Kreme chocolate ice donuts at one time in his car in the parking lot of a Krispy Kreme.
I think that's the key, too, in his car.
There is something
milk.
Sort of
dark.
Yeah, that's like dark. Low rent, like just
that's chunky.
Jamming a needle in your arm, right? And just mainlining donuts. That's just it's not giving up. He's a successful guy. He's got a great career, and he's not even a big heavy guy.
Not at all.
But
no.
It's just so indulgent in the worst possible
is.
Way.
And very rarely do any of us go that crazy that would eat something like that. But it was interesting in the office yesterday finding out that many of us have had that moment where it just got out of control. You didn't sit down with the intention of eating all of fill-in-the-blank, but you did.
Yeah.
And
I think that's
sometimes
the difference.
It just happens that way.
Maybe why Ali thinks it sounds dark is because he's going there with the purpose of knowing he's going to score a dozen, and then he knows he is going to eat as many as he can possibly cram into his stomach.
And he talked about not leaving the car. He had enough milk to sustain him. And then the guilt of brushing the crumbs off before he went home.
Yeah, man.
Like he was hiding the evidence of his sin.
It was so dark.
So we thought it would
be fun. You want to hear his clip? You want to hear him talk about it? We got the clip if you want to hear it.
Oh, do we? Yes, yeah. Absolutely. Okay.
And I'm getting a dozen chocolate iced.
A dozen for yourself?
I haven't been able to do a dozen yet, but I've done 11.
You ate 11 chocolate ice Krispies at one time.
11 is my max. And sometimes, you know, sometimes I will take them home. You know, I'll have that kind of patience. But there are times when I don't have that kind of patience, and I will eat them in the parking lot behind Krispy Kreme.
That's a little sad.
Like a chunky.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, so binge eating is what the topic was that came up as a result of Brian stopping by. And we thought it might be fun to hear from people the most they've ever eaten of one thing at one time at 1-800-520-1067. I think I shared off the air yesterday that years ago, and this wasn't my plan, I had bought a bag of Oreos. I love Oreos. Mm,
sure, who doesn't?
And you know how sometimes it happens when you're on your way home from the supermarket is a bag just pops open? Because they just make them so shoddy these days.
I'm not familiar with that phenomenon.
Right there in the car.
Uh-uh.
So while the bag's open, I help myself to a cookie. I'll have a cookie. Well, it's so good. Why don't I have another? And the next thing you know, I had eaten the entire bag of Oreo cookies.
In the car?
Yes, in the car.
No.
I remember looking it up at the time. That's over 3,000 calories, by the way, an entire bag of Oreo cookies.
Did you have liquid refreshment with you? Because
I don't remember that I did. I think it was just Oreo, washing down an Oreo with an Oreo, I think is what I was doing.
You're lucky with your workout regimen you can get away with eating that, Tom.
So that is my deeply shameful binge eating story. We want yours at 1-800-520-1067. And, of course, anytime you think about binge eating, who's the first name that comes to mind?
Yeah, let's bring in an expert.
Yeah.
What's up, you guys?
I can only imagine. It must be like a cow. Well, you must have eaten a cow horns and all at some point.
It sometimes is like that, Ralph. And excluding all my miserable failed eating attempts over the years on this show, I do in my private time like to binge eat. For instance, the other day I was playing poker with a couple buddies and it's Girl Scout cookie season. And I cleared two boxes of Thin Mints and one box of Samoas in 3 hours. Just
wow!
And the Thin Mints are just—I don't know what it is about them, but I can't. Like,
I can do a whole sleeve of Thin Mints. I've done that before. But that's half a box.
Yes, that's half a box.
You did two boxes.
I did four sleeves.
Four sleeves,
and a whole box of Samoas in 3 hours.
Fatty.
And what's going through your mind? Like, are you, as you take that next cookie, are you thinking, yeah, but this is the last one that I'm going to put it
away?
Your intention wasn't to eat them all.
No. This is going to be the last one. No. Okay, maybe three more. Okay, maybe three more after that one. And it's just an endless cycle of just fat.
I get how that happens because I told my Oreo story. But once you finished a box, though, how is that not an appropriate stopping place? Like, what makes you then open another complete box?
That has the definition of beginning and end ended once the box is empty.
Would marijuana be
you're stoned? That's almost cheating. That's almost cheating. Bean came by his binge
naturally.
Legitimately.
Okay.
Exactly, yeah.
I have gone on food binges au naturel at Omar's Baby Shower.
I don't want to hear about you nude.
Not in the nude, Ralph. At Omar's Baby Shower, he had a taco guy there, and those tacos are my favorite thing in the whole wide world. I probably had about 14 or 15 throughout the whole day.
But those were little.
Because it was free. Yeah, they're good size. But they fill you up. It's 15.
But I think free has a lot to do with it. By the way, how could you resist a free taco?
14.
14 is unbelievable.
15.
Sorry.
Sorry, I made you a quitter. You 15.
All right, let's take some calls. 1-800-520-1067. Our listeners are coming through on this. Let's start with Otto. He's online too. He's in Whittier, and he gets us going here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Otto, thanks for calling. We're talking about binge eating, the most of one thing you ever ate at one time. What's your story?
I had 3.5 double cheeseburgers, knocked them, almost had the fourth one.
Now 3.5 double cheeseburgers, where'd you get them? Is this like legitimate burgers?
Yeah, they were double cheeseburgers from Tommy's.
Tommy's, that's a serious burger.
That's a big burger. Big burger.
3.5, strong.
What was going on? I mean, was it some sort of a competition you were in? Well, I just mean, did somebody dare him to do it, or were you just that hungry? How did it happen?
No, we were selling them at our school. After a football game, and we had leftovers, and I said, let's try. Let's see what we can do.
So it was like a personal challenge for yourself.
Actually, the food was there. I love Tommy's. I said, what the heck? Let's try it.
Yeah, I love Tommy's, too. I'm not stuffing 3.5 of them in my gut.
How'd that feel afterwards?
For a week, I was pretty bad.
Yeah, I bet.
Thank you for the call, Otto. Appreciate that. Let's do one more before the break. Omar is up. He's in Los Angeles. Line 3, please. Hi, Omar. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What happened?
Being in Allen Care.
Hi.
Hey, what's going on?
All right, so yeah, sometimes I actually just go on a binge on pizza.
Pizza, all right.
Define
pizza's
binge.
Good.
Define binge.
One time I consumed 14 slices in one sitting.
14 slices?
Yeah.
Doesn't a pie only have 8?
Yeah, so it was like a 2 larges, basically.
Let me pull a bean. What was going on?
Yeah, what was going on?
You know, that's actually kind of my addict. Like, pizza, that's the only reason why. I'm actually not a big guy, but sometimes when you just put pizza in front of me, I just go crazy.
That's crazy that you could fit that much food into your stomach. You think at some point physically you would just have to shut it down.
Yeah, but right now I'm enjoying it. I'm
okay.
So.
Right, while you're alive, you're enjoying it. All right. Thank you very much.
The only thing I can think of that's comparable is I have done an entire sleeve of Pringles in one can.
Like a whole like canister of Pringles?
Like a long can of Pringles. I've polished off one of those.
You're a monkey.
Those are so good, though.
Oh, no. They are. Pringles aren't real food, but boy, are they tasty.
All right, 1-800-520-1067. Lots of great calls. Ryan, you hang on. Denise as well. Sylvia, we'll talk to you, too. It's all coming up next on K-Rock. Talking binge eating on this morning's Kevin and Bean Show. Taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Chris writes in on the Kevin and Bean Twitter account, I ate 50 Slim Jims in 20 minutes.
50 Slim Jims?
Each one is 250 calories. Could that be possible?
How
is he still alive?
Sure. I mean, they're not. That's not a lot of – a Slim Jim is a small amount of meat. But 50 of them.
50 of them,
that's significant.
Christy writes in a moment of weakness, I once ate an entire jar of Trader Joe's cashew butter, #fatty.
Wow. What is it that's so satisfying about just packing yourself with food sometimes?
I don't know.
The hurt.
I mean, I think you're eating your feelings at that point, right? Angel writes in that in the days of 30-cent McDonald's, I once ate 21 McDonald's hamburgers at one time.
30-cent burgers. Remember that? Those were good times.
Yeah, good times indeed. All right, let's take some calls. 1-800-520-106, and let's burn through these. Man, we got some great ones here. Why don't we start with Jamie, please? Line 8, calling us from Los Angeles here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Jamie, thank you for calling. Thank you for holding. What did you binge eat?
So when I was in middle school, I ate 2 boxes of Honey Nut Cheerios.
In one sitting?
In one sitting, dry.
Dry? Your mouth must have been bleeding. You must have cut up the roof of your mouth.
No, but it did lead to explosive diarrhea, and to this day, whenever I do eat Honey Nut Cheerios, I still get diarrhea.
All right.
I think maybe you have a gluten problem. Maybe.
You are a delicate little flower, Jamie. Thanks for
that. That is awesome. Thank you so much for the call.
I love that she just came out with
it. She gave us the poop emoji at the end of that call right
many.
There.
Yeah.
Let's go to Eddie, Huntington Beach. Eddie is on line 7, and he's up next. This one, I can't even imagine how much you'd have to pay me to even try to do this. Eddie, welcome to the show, sir.
How you doing? Yeah, I had about 40 chicken wings.
40?
Hot?
Different flavors. About 5 of them were the Blazing from Buffalo Wild Wings.
Wow.
Was this some sort of wager or some competition?
No, I was just hungry and drunk.
Hungry and drunk. We're getting a lot of substance abuse involved with
well,
this.
Well, these are our people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right, let's go to Marco San Bernardino live. Thank you, Eddie. He's line 5 is Marcos in San Bernardino. Kevin is going to be so jealous that he is not here today when he hears about this. Marcos, welcome, sir. What happens?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good, Marcos.
There's this ice cream parlor called Sparrow's, and I decided to take my younger siblings there one day. And after our meal, I decided to treat them to an ice cream platter, right? That was meant for about 4 to 6 people.
Right.
But unfortunately for me, they were full. So I wasn't about to let it go to waste, but I started attacking, and by the time I got to the bottom of what was a little mini pig trough, the server came up to clear our table and asked me how I was feeling. And when I asked her why, she told me because toppings and everything included, I ate about 4.5 pounds of ice cream in about 22 minutes, roughly.
Did you get a prize? Because they used to give out I finished the pig's trough, like a little ribbon.
They gave me a little ribbon that said I just made a pig of myself.
Do you still have it? That's amazing.
Marcos, you're our man.
Worth it.
You're
worth
a hero.
Worth it. Listen to him. Listen to the conviction. Worth it. I
makes
love
me
it.
Want to go down to Brea right now and just get a big trough of ice cream.
Hero.
Do they still have a Ferrell's in Brea? Oh, wow. I didn't know they were still around.
Yeah, they just reopened a bunch of them.
The only Ferrell's I know of is Brea.
But... I went to one in Canoga Park growing up, but now they're opening all over Orange County.
Oh, that's very exciting. Yeah. All right, Marcos, look, you got a new mission for this weekend, man. Head back out and see if you can revisit that trough.
Oh, no, it messed me up for about 4 days. I had the sugar shakes, and my appetite was completely out of whack for an entire week almost.
Worth it.
Thank you, Marco. Let's go to Ricardo, please. Riverside, line 3. Hey, Ricardo, welcome to the Kevin DeBean Show. What'd you binge eat?
When I was about 16 years old at a friend's birthday party, there was a catering service. And I ate 16 tacos and 6 quesadillas.
How old were you?
16.
16. Huh.
Why?
At first it started as a competition with my best friend, and we were eating, and then he suddenly didn't want to eat, and I just kept going, and I kind of forgot.
Sure, like you do. Sometimes you're your 14th taco, you forgot how many tacos you had. Is it one? Wait. Did I have one taco or did I have 14? I can't remember. Yeah. I'd like another two.
I forget that I'm a human with free choice.
That's right.
All right, let's close with Josh. Hidden Hills, line 8 is where we go back to.
Oh,
hi, Josh.
Close with Josh, really?
Yes.
But not Victoria? Yes, not Victoria.
All right.
Come
let's
on,
see Josh.
I got to hear about Victoria. You could do Josh.
Let's do Josh real fast.
Give me
right,
Victoria.
Josh, go ahead.
All right.
Good. How are you guys doing?
Good, Josh.
Good.
What's up?
What'd you eat?
It was 5 double doubles, and I had everything on it, the grilled onions, everything top of it. But at the same time, on the side, had animal-style fries and a large strawberry shake.
Oh, I don't know how that's possible to eat that much.
You should have ruptured something.
Oh, yeah. Friends were like, oh, my gosh. And, yeah, I did a couple of laps around Magic Mountain and walked it off.
You are a miracle.
You'd have to walk to Guam to walk that off.
You really are. You're
a
medical miracle.
Over there, pretty bad.
Man,
that's amazing. Thank you very much for the call. By the way, Jessica writes in from La Mirada. I once ate a 20-ounce jar of garlic-stuffed olives, all of the olives, and I even drank the juice. I regret nothing. Says Jessica.
That's like a special on TLC. That's like its own episode.
It is, exactly.
But bring me some Victoria. Bring me some Victoria.
Santa Paula, like that's a real place. Victoria, welcome to the show. What'd you eat?
Hi. Yeah, I went to the store specifically to buy a sheet of cake, took it home, and ate the whole thing.
Nice.
Victoria ate a sheet cake.
That's a big cake, right?
Delicious.
That's the cake you buy for a birthday party to feed 25 people.
Yeah.
You ate the sheet cake.
I really wanted a whole cake.
So you went to the store
to
actually eat the whole cake. You weren't just saying, I want a few slices.
No, I wanted a whole cake.
Well done.
Oh, Victoria.
That's all I bought.
Did someone break up with you? Is that what was happening?
No, I just love the pastries.
Loves
cake. I think I ate like 10 cupcakes in like a half an hour at a friend's baby shower.
You're awesome.
Did you have them write on the sheet cake when you bought it, I need to re-examine my life?
No, I
you should have.
Yes. I should have.
All right. Thanks, Victoria. Well done.
Thanks.
Stick around. We're going to play a game to give away a trip to New Orleans, Louisiana.
That's the best of all the New Orleans, isn't it?
It really is.
So we're going to clear the lines. We're done with binge eating. Same phone number applies, though, toll-free, 1-800-520-1067. Now, I know we're giving away tickets because of the movie Focus, which does look awesome. This is a Cannes movie with Will Smith and Margot Robbie. Anything in particular the listeners need to know before they dial?
No, I think it's just going to – you're going to have to use your judgment. We're going to be talking about con artists and the cons that they pull on people. You're going to have to be able to identify – the cons as we talk about them, but I think you're going to have fun with this game.
All right, 1-800-520-1067. You win a trip to New Orleans next on K-Rock. Kevin and B. Lister German writes in on the Facebook page, I went to Pink's. I had 2 10-inch chili cheese dogs, bacon double chili cheeseburger, regular fries, nacho chili cheese onion rings, and a half order of chili cheese fries. Man, you should have seen the aftermath.
No! I don't want to think about the aftermath.
I think once we start getting into the aftermath, I think it's time
it's
to talk about
winter.
Topic. Yeah, exactly. Tuck that topic away and maybe be done with it for today, I think. Hey, 1-800-520-1067, that's the telephone number. Ralph, you are giving away an amazing thing this week. Tell me more.
It's a trip to New Orleans. How about that? Airfare, hotel, $500 spending cash, all thanks to the people who brought you the movie Focus, starring Will Smith and Margot Robbie. They play con artists, and the whole movie takes place in New Orleans, so they're giving away all week long. They're giving away trips to New Orleans. It's ridiculous. This is the nicest thing we've given away in a long time.
Too good a prize for this show. The movie opens everywhere on Friday. It does look awesome. We're going to play a new game called Real Con, Fake Con. Hit it, Steve.
You want to go to New Orleans? Yeah, it's the bee's knees. So come on, let's all play a game. It's easy. We're talking about Real Con, Fake Con. Real Con, Fake Con. Win a trip to New Orleans. It's Real Con or Fake Con.
All right, we got your contestants lined up. What do you want to tell us?
Real con, fake con. Here's how the game is played. You may or may not know this, but con artists have names for all the different cons that they play on unsuspecting saps. They all have interesting nicknames. For example, the big store. The big store is a con where you would rent out an empty storefront and you would fill it up with props and with fake customers, and you would set up a situation where if a person walked in there, they wouldn't know it's not the real thing, and that's how you use that facade to bilk them out of their money. That's called the big store con. Okay, right. So they've all got names, and I thought it'd be interesting if I give you the name of a con that con artists pull, and also the name of a perverse sex act, according to the Urban Dictionary. So it's either going to be a con, or it's going to be a perverse, twisted sex act from the Urban Dictionary. All you need to do is identify the con of the two of those.
I like it.
And you will be in the drawing for the trip to New Orleans.
Okay, sounds great. Let's just take them in order. We'll start with Carlos, line one. He's calling us from Anaheim, and he's up first on Real Con, Fake Con.
All right, Carlos?
Yes.
All right, I need from you to identify the real con. Is it fish hooking or is it salting? Fish hooking or salting? One's a con, another one's a perverse sex act.
I don't like the sound of either of those as sex acts, I'll tell you that.
Yeah. They both sound perverse. Let's say salting is the con.
You're right, salting is the con. Salting is when they're trying to sell somebody like a fake gold mine or a gem mine, and they will put some real gold or real gems in that mine so that the mark finds them and thinks that this is worth something and then pays a lot of money for a bunch of dirt.
Will you be telling us what the perverse sex act is?
If I can, I will.
Okay.
I can't tell you what fish hooking
Didn't
is,
think
sadly.
You could.
No,
okay.
I don't want to have anything to do with fish hooking. Yeah. I do know that. All right, Carlos, you're in the drawing for the trip to New Orleans. Well done, sir. Ashley up next in Orange, line two.
All right, Ashley, here are your choices. Which one is the real con? Which one's the fake? The Spanish prisoner or the angry pirate? The Spanish prisoner or the angry pirate?
The angry pirate is the con.
No, I'm sorry. It's the Spanish prisoner. Spanish prisoner is like the Nigerian letter scam, the email scam that you get. That's known as the Spanish prisoner. The angry pirate is, I don't know if I can tell you. It's when someone gets something in their eye, and so they close one eye, and they go, that's when they're the angry pirate.
But Ashley, you won't be going to New Orleans, but use that time to rent the great Steve Martin movie called The Spanish Prisoner.
Yeah,
it's great. It's all about that. It's a terrific movie. Thank you for the call. Thank you for listening. Danielle is up next. La Puente, line three.
Danielle?
Hello.
Hi, Danielle.
Hi.
Identify the real con. Is it the land shark? Or is it the badger game?
The land shark.
The land shark or the badger game? Which one's the real con?
The land shark?
No, I'm sorry.
I would have gone with that too.
It's the badger game. The badger game is when a mark is set up and put into a compromising position, usually by a woman, and then they're blackmailed or else they will reveal the photos or the information to their spouse.
Wow.
That's the
badger
game.
That just happened to Teddy on Nashville.
There you go. That's right. That was the badger game.
Exactly what happened.
That's right.
All right, Danielle, thank you for calling. I'm sorry you're not in the drawing so far. It's just Carlos, but let's see if we can get Ted in there with him. He's in Orange. He's on line four. Wow. Orange County representing strong today, by the way.
Yes, sir.
Yes. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning, Ted. Here are your choices. Tell me which one is the real con. Is it the pigeon drop or is it the angry dragon?
The pigeon drop.
Well done, sir. The pigeon drop, indeed.
He sounds like a guy who's done the angry dragon. That's why he knows.
And the pigeon trap. Hold on. You're in the drawing. Hold on. Thanks, Ted.
How many more do we have time for here, Ralph?
I've got a bunch of them. As much time as you have, I've got cons.
Okay. Let's go to Crystal then. Los Angeles up next. Line five, please.
Hey, good morning, Ralph.
Hi, Crystal. Here are your choices. Let me know what the real con is. Is it the Jamaican switch or is it the Boston cooler?
Oh, my God.
The Jamaican switch or the Boston cooler? Which one's the real con?
The Boston cooler.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. The Boston cooler is when you put ice in your mouth and surprise your partner during oral time.
Uh-huh.
That's a bad surprise. The Jamaican switch is the real con. That's when someone's victim's money is switched for worthless paper, often inside a handkerchief or a fake wallet. So that's what the
There's Jamaican no shame in not knowing about the Boston cooler.
No,
thank you for the call. We appreciate that. All right, let's go to let's do a couple more. How about that? Brandon Corona, line 6, please. Hey, Brandon, welcome to the Kevin Bean Show. Trying to give away a trip to New Orleans courtesy of the film Focus, opening everywhere Friday. Here's Ralph.
All right, Brandon, tell me what the real con is. Is it the Cleveland switcheroo? Or is it the Alabama Hot Pocket?
Oh, brother.
The Cleveland switcheroo or the Alabama Hot Pocket?
The Alabama Hot Pocket.
No, sir.
Oh.
That is not the case. It's the Cleveland switcheroo.
You're telling me the Alabama Hot Pocket is an actual sex move?
You don't want to know what the Alabama Hot
Pocket really
is.
I really don't.
I guarantee
I absolutely
you.
Do not. All right, what's the Cleveland switcheroo?
The Cleveland switcheroo is when a mark is let in on the fact that he's being conned, but he thinks he's being conned in one way. What you're really doing is setting up for a bigger con that is in the other direction. You're distracting him with one con that you let him in on, and you're taking his money with another one that he's not aware of.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's the Cleveland switcheroo.
All right, thank you, Brandon. Appreciate that. One more final contestant is going to be David. He's in Lakewood. He's on line 7.
All right. David, here are your choices.
Right.
Let me know what the big let me know what the actual con is. Is it the big mitt or is it the dolphin? The dolphin or the big mitt?
Wow. The big mitt.
The big mitt is indeed the con. That is a fixed.
How about that?
That's a fixed poker game. That's all that is. Just a fixed poker game is the big mitt. The dolphin is something where you. I can't even tell you what.
Does it involve a guy in an aquatic theme park in Florida in the 70s?
No, it involves doing something that makes someone go. I can't really tell you what that is.
All right, so David is a yes, right? He's
yes,
in the
David,
drawing.
David got the con.
David, Carlos, and Ted.
David, Carlos, and Ted. One of them will go to New Orleans along with airfare, hotel, $500 spending cash. And again, don't forget the film Focus with Will Smith and Margot Robbie opens up in theaters everywhere this Friday. Allie McKay, who's our winner, please?
Open up. The winner is Carlos.
Carlos!
Yay, Carlos.
Carlos on line 1. Dude, you're going to New Orleans.
That is awesome.
Do not get taken in by any fish hooking. That's all we ask.
Yeah, I'm gonna fish hook all you guys.
Thanks for playing. Real con, fake con.
Real con or fake con.
I don't think I need to know what the fortune cookie is, Ralph.
Oh, you
want to
know what the
yourself.
Fortune cookie
I don't.
Is.
I don't want to know about the
I'm
fortune cookie.
I'm just telling you there's a little surprise inside.
Apologies to all of those that Googled Alabama Hot Pocket.
Yeah.
Sorry about
you
that.
You should never have heard about that
I
at
warned
all.
You.
Hey, Phil Kogan, he's awesome, right?
Yes.
He's the host of The Amazing Race. He's here, and he joins us in studio coming up right after the top of the hour. First of the time of the show, is beat on a Wednesday. Here's Ralph.
Thanks to everybody who watched Agent Carter last night and sent me so many kind words.
Was it the return of Radio Boy?
It was the return of Radio Boy.
Wow.
Announcer Man Radio Boy.
I did not
realize
that.
Did you watch it?
I didn't. I'm a couple episodes behind. I like that show.
Of
but
all
I just...
people, I'm playing a guy who does radio.
Yes,
the
I
only
know.
Thing you care about is radio. I play an old-timey radio announcer.
I love the idea of that. I just am not caught up in the show, and I didn't realize you were on last night,
right.
Ralph. I'm sorry I missed that.
For those of you who missed my 30 seconds of fame last night, I'm going to play a little audio clip. This is from last night's Agent Carter.
3 out of 4 famous Hollywood stars recommend Diamond Toilet Soap for high-quality complexion care. Be a diamond girl. Only 39 cents for 2 bars. And now, back to our program. When we last left our hero, Captain America had saved the 25th Infantry, but his plane was going down over the Sea of Japan. Betty?
That's fun. That's a fun gig right there.
That was good times.
How long does it take you to film that 30 seconds of tape we just heard?
We were a couple hours.
Oh, that's not bad.
A couple hours on the set. No, they moved like a well-oiled machine over there at Agent Carter. And I want to thank everybody over there who invited me to come play in their sandbox. It was enormous fun, and I hope there's a second season. I hope so, too.
Why haven't we had Agent Carter on the show yet, by the way, is my question.
Haley Atwell?
Yes.
Well, she has been enormously busy. She's in every freaking scene, so I know her schedule is nuts. But maybe now that the show is wrapped, maybe she'll come in. Maybe
That'd
if they get picked up for a second season, she'll come in and talk to us. But it's a great show, and I hope ABC has the smarts to get it for a second season. Good times. Justin Bieber's in trouble again.
No.
Well, sort of. This time it's his bodyguard. There's a guy named Stephen Prince who said he tried to take a photo with the Bieber at a nightclub called Flux in San Diego last week. But he says he wound up getting shoved and punched in the face twice by Bieber's security guard.
I thought Bieber had turned over a new leaf and he wasn't going to get into any altercations like
this.
He's
not. Now he has his security guard beat people up. The guy says the club came up to him and tried to make nice by giving him a free drink. That would not do it for me. He wound up getting kicked out. He promptly reported the incident to local police and says, of course, he plans to sue. So we'll wait to see. Juliana Rancic's in trouble. You know, she's been that fashion police.
Oh, on E.
On E.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she was doing her red carpet coverage, and apparently Zendaya Coleman was on the red carpet, and she's got dreadlocks. And so Juliana Rancic looked at the footage and said, she looks like she smells like patchouli oil or maybe weed.
Yeah. That's a super uncool and unfair stereotype of people with dreads.
That's what Zendaya Coleman said. She said her parents have them, and she's got lots of friends and family who have them, and people are calling it a borderline racist comment. She said it was an ignorant slur, pure disrespect, and Juliana Rancic has since apologized, saying she was referring to a bohemian chic look. Of course you were. Has nothing to do with race and never would, she said.
Did she do the, I'm sorry if I offended you?
I'm sure she did.
That's my favorite.
Yes.
Sorry you took it wrong.
Kelly Osbourne said she would quit, by the way, if Julian Rancic didn't make things right. Because she was so upset. So,
wow.
Just this close. We almost could have been a win-win. Julian Rancic, by the way, looks like a gray. Like one of the aliens. When they sketch aliens and they say, "This they came down in a big ship and they probed my anus." When they sketch the head... It looks like Juliana Rancic. I think maybe she's a gray. I think she
white
might be
set eyes.
But she might pull her flesh mask off, and underneath it, she's actually an alien.
I wouldn't be surprised at all.
That would be awesome if she was.
Yeah.
She's the one who is married to the guy who won the first Apprentice, right?
Bill
Rancic, yeah.
Bill Rancic, yeah. And Killers frontman Brandon Flowers will release his second solo album on May the 18th. The Desired Effect is the name of Brandon's solo effort. Follows up his debut solo album, 2010's Flamingo. So if you want to pick that up.
How can you top the first one?
Well.
I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, I'm speechless about it. I really am.
Yeah, he really is. Beer Mug is speechless. Doesn't happen often. Only when he's supposed to be interviewing someone. Seems like he gets speechless. And the rest of the time, he's got plenty to say.
He sure does.
Sure does.
Not afraid to share.
Nope. He's talking until we ask him to go talk to someone. And then he comes up dry. Today's celebrity birthdays. All these stars were born on today, the 25th of February. Sean Astin's 44 years old today. Rashida Jones is 39. Chelsea Handler, who I can soon not watch on Netflix. She is 40 years old today. Comedian Carrot Top is 50 years old. And actress Tay Leone celebrates her 49th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Gentlemen. Is waiting for you. The Amazing Race returns. You know, it's regularly on Friday nights at 8 on CBS, but tonight, a special 90-minute episode following the premiere of Survivor. The Amazing Race returns for season 26. Our friend Phil Kogan just stepped in here on the Kevin Bean Show on K-Rock. Hey, Phil!
Hey, good morning.
What's going on, man?
I was just checking out the studio. It looks good in here. Looks good.
I tweeted a few minutes ago that Phil's coming by. He's seen the world many times on Amazing Race, but he's never been any place dumpier than K-Rock. So we always appreciate when you stop by.
I love the big sign says world famous.
Exactly. If you don't believe it, just ask us.
Yes.
So, Phil, season 26, and I know this is a very special season that's near and dear to your heart, and we want to talk all about it, but did you ever in a million years imagine the show would run that long?
Some people think it's 26 years.
Yeah, like, no, that's not true.
Oh, 26 years. No. It's like more than a decade and, 14 years, I guess, and 26 seasons. But to answer your question, absolutely not. I mean, we thought if we got to do it once, we'd be lucky. And 26 seasons in, that's a blessing. Yeah. A blessing.
And I imagine, you know, you guys, I mean, you make every season as if it's going to be your last. You spare no expense. You go to the most the craziest places in the world. I imagine you guys leave everything on the on the table, and then you're renewed for another table, and then your team has to go, oh my God, what are we going to do another year of? You know,
well,
it's kind of tough. You can't top yourself.
Well, you know, I think what's really cool about the show is that we don't go back to like the same studio. We don't go back to do the same setup. It's always in a different place. So you never see a repeat of anything you've seen a previous season, you know, before. And we're still, you know, you could go back to India, China, you could go back there dozens of times and you're not going to uncover everything. So I feel like it's always fresh because it's not like we get back on the same soundstage and go, well, here we go again. Or maybe we change the colors of the lights or something. It's like, wow, look at this place. And then, of course, we have incredible people that we put into that environment, and then the challenges are always different, so that it's not always the same thing over and over again. I think I would find it way more difficult if I was working on a show where it was themed around something, we just did that same theme over and over again, or they were a particular type of person.
Sure.
I think I would find that harder. Like, you know, if they were all builders or all dancers or all singers or all something. But these people that we bring together, they're so completely and utterly different. And then we put them in a different place. It always just feels fresh. It feels like we're doing it for the first time.
Now, having said all that, you are doing something for the first time this time around that I think is fascinating.
I love the twist.
You like it?
Yeah, I love it.
It's sort of like a human experiment. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we've for years had we listened to our fans. And for years our fans have said, look, I'd love to go on The Amazing Race, but I don't have somebody to go with me. Maybe you could pair me up with somebody. And our show has always been about people in an existing relationship, and we bring them to the starting line, and they're from all different backgrounds. But it sort of begged the question, like, from a human experiment point of view, right? What would happen if you brought 10 singles to the starting line of a race, a 35,000-mile race around the world?
Complete strangers.
Total strangers. People looking for love. That's what they have in common. But let's see if we can match them up. And wouldn't it be amazing if these people locked eyes for the first time on the starting line, went on a 35,000-mile race around the world, somehow found this love, fell in love. We captured all of that. And then they went on to win. And then, you know, we do the follow-up story with the babies and the, you know, whatever down the line.
Oh, my goodness.
But we just thought it would be an amazing experiment. And we are calling it the most extreme blind date ever, because if you know of a more extreme blind date, like where people meet each other and it's not like, oh, thanks for the coffee, thank you very much, and you call your girlfriend and you go, what were you thinking lining me up with that guy? That guy is so not my type. I can't believe you set me up with that guy. But in this particular case, if they just don't like each other, whatever, they're going to ask themselves, maybe I need to stay in this because there's like $1 million waiting. Maybe we have to try to work this out.
Teamwork,
and they're stuck with a partner that they don't know, that they have no experience with. They don't know if they can trust that person. They don't know what that person's strengths or weaknesses are. I mean, that's the built-in advantage of the couples that you have on, or the coworkers or roommates or whatever you've had in the past, is that they know the other person's layout and what works.
And that's
what people are guessing.
That's what makes it so interesting, is that we also have 6 existing couples, couples that have been dating for a while. Now you take 10 singles, you have them meet at the starting line to make 5 teams. Mm-hmm. And so what is really interesting to watch is the transformation of these new couples over the course of the race. Because they go from that, you know, putting your best foot forward. I want it, particularly if there's an attraction.
Right.
You want them to see you in your best possible light. And people are like, are you guys doing a dating show? Or like, no. On a dating show, your hair looks perfect. You wear some perfume. There's some candles going. It's slow and romantic. And
they take you to the fantasy suite.
They take you to the fantasy suite. Well, you hope that's where it goes. In this particular case, it's like you're digging through manure. It's like you're looking your worst. You don't smell good. And if you're trying to impress somebody, and it's like the beginning of a relationship, it creates a whole new dynamic, like you've never seen before.
I love, though, that you are still using 6 existing couples. Yeah. So we can see the breakdown of that, because they're going to bicker, they're going to do things. And then the new couples, if you will, they're on, like you said, like that first 3 months you're dating.
Yeah, it's
where
perfect.
Everything's awesome.
It's like that comparison of, well, this is what it looks like when people are together.
Right.
They've established a pattern for who does the directions, who does the driving, who takes the lead in this particular challenge. But for the new teams, like literally right at the starting line, it's like, hi, nice to meet you. Okay. And then I say go, and they literally run off wow. the starting line. They get to the first challenge, which is a mud run, like about 500 yards away from the starting line. They're like at a mud run, and all of a sudden they just talk about looking your worst, right?
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
you're covered in mud now with this person that you've just met, and that's just the start of it. And 21 days, if you make it on the Amazing Race, 21 days of mayhem. And this, what we're calling the most extreme blind dates ever, because it is extreme.
I just love that it's a first date. I mean, imagine on your first date, if your new boyfriend or girlfriend had to see you staying up all
yes.
night on a 14-hour flight.
Right.
I mean, that's basically what you're dealing with.
That's what you're dealing with. You wake up with this person you've just met, and you're drooling, and there's like sleep in your eyes, you know, and you've just flown halfway across the world to Japan. It's like, talk about not looking your best, like right out of the gate, and you know. Be terrible if you like fell asleep and you had like elephant breath and you're breathing all over this person. You're just like, hey, we just met. Could you stop with that already?
I imagine that you tried to fix people up that were compatible, but what was that process like? Was
well,
it like a Match.com type of thing?
Yeah, I mean, look, even the online dating services, even your best friend finds it difficult to get people matched up. We don't know what it is about a person that we're attracted to. It like you people go, what are you looking for? Well, I don't know. I would like a guy who's like this or that. But it's so hard to find a match, right? We all know that. So we did our best. We did our best. I mean, if somebody said, well, wouldn't you just put people together that you thought would just be, you know, where it would be sort of like where things would just erupt? And we're like, no.
Explosive.
We want the story about the couple who met on the line, who locked eyes, who went, wow, there's something going on here. Wow, I get to travel with this person where there's some sparks and good sparks where they go on this race around the world and potentially win the money. And then we can do the story and I can maybe come back here one day and go, hey, you remember the time when we matched people up for last season? Guess what? I got some news for you. Twins, exactly.
This is the voice of Phil Kogan here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We're talking about The Amazing Race, which premieres tonight on CBS at 9:30 after the premiere of Survivor. I had long ago gave up trying to predict who is going to win. I am terrible at predicting who's going to win The Amazing Race. And I think you are too, right,
Phil?
I think I'm worse than you. I might be worse than anybody.
But I will say that on the surface, having not seen a minute of the show, I mean, except for the promos, it seems like you would have a built-in advantage if you were a pre-existing couple. It does seem like my mind tells me that works, but maybe I'm wrong. Maybe that somehow works against you. I don't know.
Well, I think there are times where it is definitely an advantage to be in an existing relationship. But as you will see, there are also times where it's actually better that these new relationships are trying to figure it out because right. they're listening to each other more. A lot of times when you're in a relationship, you sort of fall into a pattern and you just make the assumption you sort of like, oh, well, that's what you deal with. I deal with this stuff. You deal with that. But in mm-hmm. this, they're having, particularly if they like each other, they're actually being nice to each other.
Right.
They're not like, yeah. they're not falling into those patterns of snapping at each other or getting frustrated with each other because one person can or can't do something.
Yep. No preconceived roles.
Exactly.
They're learning as they go.
They're learning as they go. And for the teams that really, where you can see there's like a genuine attraction, you can tell they're trying so desperately to be nice to each other, but at the same time sort of like, listen, I'd really love to stop and, you know, I'd love if we could just maybe go for a walk and get to know each other, but we have to get the next flight and we have to do this challenge.
Catch a fish.
Yeah. We have to eat this really crazy food and, you know, it's like you
wow.
get to see it. Somebody said it's like a dating show. I said, no. This is like the antithesis of the dating show. This is like not at your best, it's at your worst. Not at your cleanest, you're at your dirtiest. It's not at your, you don't smell good. You're not wearing the clothes that you'd ideally want to watch, and your hair doesn't look like a hair commercial.
Season 26 of The Amazing Race premieres tonight on CBS. More with our guest Phil Kogan when we return right after this on K-Rock. Coming up in about 15 minutes or so here in the Kevin Avincio, UFC Women's Bantamweight Champion Rowdy Ronda Rousey joins us back on the show. Of course,
course, talking about UFC 184. Phil Kogan is in here now from The Amazing Race. You follow the UFC. Are you a sports fan, Phil? I don't even know that about you.
I love sports. Yeah, I love sports. I'm,
what's your team?
Yeah, I'm really interested in just talking about, well, you're talking about MMA, but just the fight coming up with Pacquiao and Mayweather.
Yes.
Who you got?
Yeah, for some reason, I feel like Mayweather is just going to make this.
Him.
Not demolish him, but I think it's his. And I've always enjoyed watching Pacquiao fight. Mayweather is like he's such a special athlete. They're both special. Anyway, it's going to be interesting. I just hope they're both at their peak because.
Oh no!
I mean, I hope they get.
That's why he waited, because Pacquiao isn't.
Yeah,
that's the impression we get. Certainly, is this would have been the best fight in the world 5 years ago, and now it'll still be fun to see. But
I just hope that they're because they're both around the same age, right?
I think so.
Yeah,
I think they're both around 30, 37 maybe.
Right. So, I mean, I don't think there's any disadvantage with Pacquiao in terms of age. Mm-hmm. But I just hope that they both come to it feeling like they're at their peaks in terms
now,
of
Now, you're a you're big-time wealthy celebrity. You'll be you'll
big-time
be ringside
wealthy
for that
celebrity.
Fight, right?
God, listen to you.
I would imagine.
How much
if,
do
if
you
only.
Have, Phil? That's
how
the
much?
Next segment. Yeah.
Well, let's have a look. I got my wallet right here. No, I love sports. A friend of mine took me to a Clippers game the other day. I don't really have my team, the team that I always follow is the New Zealand rugby team.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
That's like if you come from New Zealand, rugby is like a religion. Mm-hmm. So
and you're every year you say to the Amazing Race, "Come on, let's go back to New Zealand." Come on.
I try. We've gone back four times, so I really do.
So it's working.
Yeah, we've been lucky. We've gone back a few times, but that's my team. And then I just think, you know, sports in general in America, it's done so well that it's packaged so well.
Yeah.
I really got into the Super Bowl this year that was really just.
We don't talk about the Super Bowl.
No,
this
we
show.
Do. Were you rooting
no, we
for
don't.
The Patriots
well,
we do.
Or,
yes.
We
or
don't
Seattle?
Talk about it, no.
Well, I wanted Seattle to win because I just thought it would be a great win. But
it would have been.
Sure would have been. Sure would love to have that 5 seconds back. Hey, let's change topics. The
yes,
Amazing Race
returns change.
For
let's
season 26.
Let's make you feel better. I'm sorry.
Tonight on CBS. We talked about what's new this time is that you've got five couples, right, who are meeting on the starting
Ten
line.
10 singles arrive at the starting line having never met each other before.
Now, let's talk about your previously existing couples.
Yes.
Now,
six
one
of them
is a face that is well known to us. Mm-hmm. Tell me how this happened and what is the history of having celebrity contestants on The Amazing Race?
Well, we always get a lot of celebrities who want to be on The Amazing Race, and I always think you have no idea what you're signing up for, wanting to sign up for. Like, this is not a walk in the park. This is 21 days of mayhem, 35,000 miles racing around the world doing the craziest things you could ever imagine. You've got no assistant. There's no trailer. You're not going to be pampered. And the number one thing I hear from everybody at the end of the first leg is, man, I had no idea that this race was as hard as it is.
And this is from people who have watched the show for years before they got on the show, and they still are surprised at how hard it is.
But those people that are, you know, it's not like we're going to pick celebrities. It's just that sometimes people have reached out to us to want to be on the show, and Jonathan Knight is like a huge fan of Amazing Race. When he came into audition, because he had to audition like everybody else, he was nervous. He said, you know, I've performed in front of tens of thousands of people in my life, and I'm so nervous right now because I really want to be on this show. And he wanted to be on the show with his partner, Harley, and they have this great relationship, and they felt that it would be something cool to share. And there are so many fans of Jonathan out there who watch
New
our
kids
show.
On the block.
Absolutely.
If people
I mean,
are thinking, I know that name, Jonathan Knight.
Yeah, you know, we knew his intentions were good in terms of him wanting to be on the show. He just was a genuine fan. And so we gave them the opportunity, and it's great. And he is the nicest guy. He was like, there's no ego with this guy. And he rolled up his sleeves and he got into it.
At any point, did you ask him if he had the right stuff?
I did ask him if he wanted to, you know, start a band with me, the old kids
Hanging
on the block.
Tough.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just dropping a lot of horrible.
Yeah. What
new
was
kids.
The other one? Boys to Men. Do you remember that?
Of course.
The band,
yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
There were a lot of boy bands around.
Well, there should still be.
That was the time. And, of course, Backstreet Boys 2 and 98
oh, yeah.
Degrees. Yeah, there were a bunch of
go.
Them back then. Were there ever – I know you keep it pretty close to the chest in terms of what you are allowed to say about what you've seen so far. But can you tell us, were there ever times where Jonathan Knight was recognized around the world and that either helped or hindered him?
He was definitely recognized. You know, like I said, his fan base is so loyal. He has an incredible fan base that people have stuck with him for years and years. And I put something out there yesterday on, I think it was a TV Guide interview, and I said, you know, there's some people on the show that I would like to go and have a beer with after the series is finished. You know, like there are people that I would definitely go and have a beer with, and then there are others that I don't. And he's one that, you know, I would definitely like to go and have a drink because he's just a super nice guy. Well, his fans, like, immediately, like, of course he's a nice guy. Of course. You think you're the only one that wants to go have a beer with Jonathan Knight? I'm like, whoa. I was paying him a compliment. You know, it's like, he's a really nice guy.
You didn't say you wouldn't want to have a beer with him, by the way, because then you would have had New Kids fan death threats.
I would have, I probably would be in hiding today.
I think they're called blockheads.
Did you get it? We should have him on, by the way, as The Amazing Race progresses on CBS. We should totally have him on because I just can't even imagine who could be prepared for what your life is like when you're on a rocket ship like New Kids on the Block was. Like,
yeah. You should definitely get him in. He'll be able to.
It'd be fascinating.
Yeah, it is fascinating because it's like from 0 to 100 miles in a nanosecond. And yeah. You wonder, especially with younger people, how do you handle that? Especially there are older people that we see who get a part on, you know, some television show when they're in their 30s or their 40s or whatever, and it's like their big break. And even they can't handle sometimes that.
And he was like 15 or something when that thing happened, I think.
Now that I think about it, Donnie Wahlberg.
Yes.
He's on Blue Bloods.
Here
CBS.
We go. Yeah, go. Keep going.
You've got Jonathan, who's on CBS with you.
Yeah.
Joey McCarthy. He's on CBS.
Joey McIntyre is on the...
Yeah, McIntyre, not McCarthy.
Right.
He's on the McCarthys.
McIntyre is also on there.
So you've got three of the New Kids.
Yeah, yesterday I decided that Les Moonves must love, like, love that music and probably listens to it in his spare time.
I am
and he's
only
like,
imagining
you know what?
That.
I'm putting these guys on my network.
That is a weird coincidence, by the way.
Yeah,
that is weird.
Right? We are the network.
Of New Kids.
Apparently so.
Yes.
Wow. All right. Listen, Phil, we're almost out of time here. The Amazing Race premieres tonight after the premiere of Survivor. It's on CBS at 9:30. But you are going back to your regular Friday night, right?
Yes.
Like you were last year.
Yes.
Real quick, if you don't mind saying, because when you said it, you mentioned you've been busy, you've been putting together another movie. I remember your last one that we enjoyed so much. What's the new one about?
I retraced the 1928 Tour de France on an old 1928 bicycle. I rode 150 miles a day on average on one of those heavy old bicycles with no gears and marginal brakes.
And, like you do.
Yeah, like you do. And we went around France and we're making this film. And the last film we did, which is called The Ride, is on Showtime. And this one we're hoping to complete very, very soon. We shot it in 4K, so it looks really beautiful. It's just
a lot of work. Takes a lot of time to get it right.
Do you ever sit?
Mm. Only now, right? This is kind of nice.
You got to go.
Comfortable seat, really. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Phil, because he's the host of The Amazing Race, his assistant schedules all of his chores in 15-minute increments, so he never can stay one place for very long. Oh, got to go. Next. All right, Phil, it's great to catch up with you, my friend. The show looks awesome this year. Can't wait. Great twist. Looking forward to it tonight on CBS. Sounds good. We'll see you soon.
Yeah, and make sure you do get Jonathan to come in and have a chat. He's a super nice guy, and I think you would find it fascinating to talk about, you know, his career and then ending up on Amazing Race.
Absolutely. We'll do it. Thanks,
okay.
Guy.
All right.
You ready? You ready? Let's fight.
Everything you need in a fighter, she has.
It's over. Rousey has done it.
Yet she's a woman and she's beautiful.
And the takedown by Rousey. And there she's looking for the armbar in the opening minute of the fight.
She's gonna pop it.
The Ronda Rousey package is different than any other package we've ever seen.
Everyone who fights Rousey knows what's coming. No one has been able to defend it.
She's mean, she's nasty, and she's dangerous.
Ronda Rousey extending the arm!
My mom was the first American to ever win the world championships in judo, and she really made me into who I am today. She really made me a fighter in every sense of the word.
It's all over! Once again, first round armbar finish for the champion, Ronda Rousey!
Always a thrill when we have the champ back on the show. Rowdy Ronda Rousey joins us on the Kevin DeBean Show right now. Hey, Ronda, how you doing?
I'm good.
good. How you doing?
Doing fine. It's been a while. I guess the last time we talked to you was around the time of the Expendables, but it looks like you've been pretty busy. How are you feeling? The big fight this weekend at Staples Center, Saturday night. Tickets available at staplescenter.com or access.com or get it on pay-per-view. How are you feeling? Like, what's your mind space like only 3 days out?
To be honest, this is the best I've ever felt for a camp in my whole life since the last fight. My knuckle exploded because I had like a ganglion cyst in my knuckle. This was a 16-second fight. My knuckle exploded. I broke my thumb. I was already scheduled to get knee surgery, and so like I was just, you know, a race car that was going too long and was long overdue to go to the pit. And so I went to the pit, and they fixed up all my stuff. And I haven't felt this healthy since I was 16 years old, and I haven't had this great a training camp in my whole life. But this is also the toughest opponent I've ever had, so it's like just a perfect storm of awesome fightness.
Yeah, and we want to talk about Kat in a minute, but it's so funny because you mentioned that 16 seconds, which, look, you've won a lot of fights, almost all of them in the first round, so that wasn't a surprise, but 16 seconds had to even be a surprise for you, and I've watched that fight so many times, and she just didn't even know what was happening. Like, they had to tell her that the fight was over. That was a crazy night for you, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, they're all pretty crazy nights. Like, every single time after a fight and I win and I look up around the room and everyone's going crazy, I'm just like, wow, this is nuts. Like, do I really do this? This is really happening right now. Like, every single time I tell that to myself. And that one was extra special because it was my first KO. And I had a TKO before that and everything else was submission. So I was very happy to be able to show people that I have some real hands on me, you know?
Yeah. Why is it you think Kat is the toughest opponent you've ever faced?
Well, she's undefeated at 9-0, and she has all finishes except for, like, her very first fight ever was a decision. And her background, she started with wrestling and came into jiu-jitsu, but she's actually very well known for her striking and her Muay Thai. And so I've actually never gone to the ground with a jiu-jitsu black belt. That 16-second chick, she was a jiu-jitsu black belt, and so I was thinking I wanted to strike with her to kind of soft her up before going to the ground. But I never tested myself on the ground against a jiu-jitsu black belt yet. And, Kat has proved that she's a very, very tough striker. She's more of the get into a clinch and knee and elbow and cut you up type of person. And so she definitely presents a lot of dangerous things.
And I've heard you say this before, and I think this is a fascinating approach because so many fighters are looking for the weakness in their opponent that they can exploit. But you have a completely different mindset, don't you?
I study my own footage the most, to be honest, because a lot of these girls, they come into the title fight and they don't even act like themselves. You know, they'll just go buck wild and crazy, and they can come out with like a flying knee or, you know, a spinning back elbow or something when they've never done it before. And so I try to look at all the weaknesses that I have and how I would try and beat myself. And I think about, okay, what are the tools that this person has and what would they see seeing me fight? And so I try to think of their approach to me more like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I try to make myself better with every fight.
And you've also said that you just think of your opponent as being a perfect fighter. Like, you've got to be prepared for, you don't know how great they might be at everything, so just prepare for all of it.
Yeah, definitely. I think a lot of these girls, they hope that I'll make a mistake or that I'll get tired later in the rounds and all these things. Like, they go out hoping for less, and I go out expecting more than they could possibly be. So I'm always extremely over-prepared.
Now, sitting in with us here today on the show, Rhonda, is Allie McKay, who you have met before. Allie, what was your experience like when you interviewed Rhonda for Channel 5?
Well, I have been lucky enough to interview her a few times, and I know you do this all across the country, preparing. You have to talk to the dumb morning girl, whatever. And you were going to just tell me what an armbar was, I thought. And then you flip me over your back onto mine. You put your legs around my head, straddled my head, really, and then armbarred me. Do you remember that, or do you do this?
It's hard to believe that I would just do that by surprise.
Oh, Rhonda Rousey, you're a big fat liar who lies, because you literally were like, oh, yeah, what you do is you just do this. And you took my arm, you flipped me over onto the ground. It was at a UFC gym, I believe, in Torrance. I have got stills. I can tweet you the pictures, four different pictures, landed on my back. You thought it was quite amusing.
As did
I. Quite amusing.
No,
too.
Allie,
were you shocked at how easily you just flew through the air?
Well, when she's smiling at you, saying, "Oh, okay, yeah, see what you do," and then in the middle of saying what you do, I'm flipping in the air, landing on my back, and all of a sudden her legs are around my head and my arm. She's like, "Okay, you had enough." I'm like, but that how'd that what?
Well done.
It was
Rhonda.
Amazing.
Well done.
Oh.
You were completely safe, and now you have a great story, so you're welcome.
Top three, thank you, ever. It was amazing.
Now, let me ask you this. I'm not sure how to phrase this question, but you're fighting essentially in your hometown. You're Southern California born and raised, so obviously you're going to have a lot of fans. Kat has such a compelling backstory. We all love our athletes, you know, to overcome great obstacles. She had that terrible injury that took all that all that recovery. She obviously had the terrible situation with losing her husband and everything like that. Are there going to be a lot of people who will be rooting against you just because they so want Kat to win?
Yeah, there's a lot of people rooting against me regardless, you know. We're kind of an underdog culture, and I've got booed a lot. And I don't really expect the cheers. They're nice if they're around, but I mean, if my purpose to Gotham is be the bad guy version of Batman, then whatever's good for the city, you know, I'll be that role.
I love it.
That's an awesome way to look at it, Rhonda.
No.
This is the voice of Rhonda Rousey again. We're talking about her fight at Staples Center. It's a great card for UFC 184. Tickets are still available through staplescenter.com or access.com. You can get it on pay-per-view starting at 7 o'clock. You know, I've so often worried, and so have Rogan and people like that there aren't going to be enough quality opponents for you to fight. Are you seeing a real improvement over the last couple of years in the ladies in your division, Rhonda, do you think? Or are we going to run into that problem where you're just going to have to sit around and go, well, there's no one good up next?
No, I think there's actually a lot of depth because there's not a lot of places for women combat sport athletes to go. It's not like they have the options that men have. The only place for women combat sports athletes to make money is in MMA. And so actually the co-main event on Saturday is this girl, Holly Holm, is fighting, who's actually a boxing world champion several times. And she's just coming into the UFC, but she's also been doing MMA for a little while and is putting an undefeated record together and has all, like, head kick knockouts, which is crazy, being that she's a boxing world champion. And that's the girl in the co-main. So I'm very interested that if she wins this fight and puts a couple together, I'd definitely like to have a fight with her after I beat Kat.
And well, will they ask you about that immediately after your fight? Will they say, listen, we would love for you now to fight in another month? Because that tends to be what happens. Out of nowhere, in the middle of just celebrating.
And they don't do that to anyone else, do they?
No.
Well, we're excited about...
And then I'll walk outside the arena and go to another one and fight again, just because...
Well, if it only takes you 16 seconds to knock somebody out, you've still got some energy left over, so why not? We're excited about Saturday night. We're excited about seeing what happens and also seeing you in Furious 7 this summer. I hope we get a chance to talk to you again, Ronnie. It's always a lot of fun to have you on, and we really appreciate your time. Good luck this weekend, all right?
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me on. I'll talk to you
later. You bet. Bye-bye. This Week in Rage with Adam Carolla coming up after the top of the hour. First, though, Rob is here with the Showbiz Beat on a Wednesday morning.
This is kind of cool. We're watching Lady Gaga reinvent herself right in front of our eyes. Of course, she had a show-stealing turn at the Academy Awards where she came out and sang that montage, or melody, medley, I guess it would be, of music from The Sound of Music. Mm-hmm. She did it straight up.
By the way.
Beautiful voice, terrific, classy outfit. Surprised a lot of people with that. And now, announced today, she has just inked a deal to star in the upcoming fifth season of American Horror Story on FX.
No way!
Yeah, how about that? She's going to star in this season. It's kind of cool. This show is great, and I guess True Detective is going to be a lot like it, where you can get high-powered stars because they only have to commit for one season and they don't have to stick around for too long. Angela Bassett has already done it, and Kathy Bates and Michael Chiklis.
How much acting has Gaga done?
To the best of my knowledge... None that I can think of.
Right.
I can't think if she's done a TV acting appearance, or maybe she's done a little film. I can't think.
This is quite a surprising announcement, then.
But look, I don't know what the format is going to be for the next franchise installment of the franchise. I don't know what the theme is. Of course, this past season it was Freak Show.
Oh, no more clowns.
Oh, boy, that was disturbing on so many levels. So they haven't announced yet what this one will be, nor are there any details about Lady Gaga's character. But listen, I think it's a real get for FX. Certainly people are going to watch to see what she does and what it's like. And well done on their part.
While we're talking about popular things, this Frozen thing has just taken over my life. It's just all Frozen all the time.
Olivia's moved on from Frozen now, though, hasn't she?
No, she has not moved on from
Frozen. Really? She's still watching it a lot?
Bean, here, you're so cute. Here's the thing about 4-year-olds, 5-year-olds, 6-year-olds. They don't move on from stuff.
Right, but after a year, even they have to be tired.
Are you crazy?
They don't ever move on?
Let me tell you what you hear for your all day long when you have a toddler through 10-year-old. Again. They fixate on something. They love it. They just love it to death. I've got the Frozen Trouble game, the Frozen Matching game. We play the old Frozen games and it's singing the song. And Frozen, all time it's Frozen. Well, good news. There's more Frozen yet to come. The new animated short Frozen Fever is going to be debuting in front of screenings of Disney's live-action film Cinderella, which starts March the 13th. And so
like you're going to see Cinderella.
They have just released the trailer for the new animated short Frozen film Frozen Fever, which brings back all the cast, Kristen Bell and Adele Dazeem is in it, and Josh Gad and Jonathan Groff, and they've even got a new song from the people who wrote Let It Go. Those bastards. If I ever meet them face-to-face, we're going to have a strong conversation. But, so you can go online and check that out if you want.
I'm in!
Apparently, Cinderella is going to be debuting at the El Capitan. That's where Disney likes to debut their big kids' shows. So,
have you ever been there?
See you there,
Olivia?
Everybody! I haven't. No, my wife's taken her to the El Capitan, but I have not yet gone. So.
They do a whole stage show.
I know. That's what I've heard.
Lovely. Big organ.
Well, if anybody knows about big organs. Yeah. Real quick email before I get to celebrity birthdays. Apparently, somebody's upset with me. This Peter Grillo is upset. He says, Dear Ralph, I can't believe you don't think the Westminster Kennel Dog Show is a sport. Those animals are bred to perfection, just like ones in horse racing. Oh, horse racing is not a sport? It's the sport of kings, I say. I recently had my precious beagle bred, who is not only the father of good stock, but the owner is a celebrity known for her work in Chicago Hope and countless movies. I know you'll be jealous to learn that I have a pup with Christine Lottie.
I woke up in a new Bugatti.
Nope.
I have a pup with Christine Lottie.
Nope.
I have a pup with Christine Lottie.
Five.
I have a pup with Christine Lottie.
Five.
He's got a pup with Christy Lottie.
This Peter guy.
I'm all about Peter Grillo right now.
File.
How dare you file?
File.
How?
File.
How dare you? Anonymous file voice. Today's celebrity birthdays. Sean Astin's 44 years old today. Actress Rashida Jones is 39. Chelsea Handler is 40. Carrot Top turns 50. And actress Tia Leone is 49 years old today. I have a pup with Christine Lottie.
Got it. Heard it.
I don't
it.
Think you got it.
Heard it.
I have a pup with Christine Lottie.
I was here. We don't need to revisit that.
I have a pup with Christine Lottie.
Fine.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Allie, did you ever see Adam Carolla's first movie, The Hammer? Did you ever see that?
I'm a big fan of Adam Carolla and boxing.
So yes. You did see it? Yes.
Yeah.
A lot of people had the same reaction that I did, which is, well, this guy will never make another movie. Clearly, he's done. He's one and done. But we were all wrong because Adam's got a new film that is called Road Hard that looks hilarious with a great cast. Jay Moore, Howie Mandel, David Koechner, Diane Farr, Larry Miller, David Alan Greer. So many more great people in the film. It opens up everywhere on Friday in select theaters and on demand. That's Friday, March 6th, 1 week from this coming Friday. And you can get all the details on where it's showing and an advance copy and the whole deal at AdamCarolla.com. By the way, Ace Man, before we get into this week in Rage, speaking of Road Hard, I got an email from one of your super fans who was part of the Kickstarter deal to give you a bunch of money, and in return, he's coming to the... Are you doing a screening at Phil Rosenthal's house? Is that happening soon?
I'm doing it tonight, and poor Phil. Phil Rosenthal is the creator of Everyone Loves Raymond.
All right.
And Phil is one of these dudes who's the nicest dude in the world, and he is a lesson for anybody in the audience who ever might think about getting successful. Do fun stuff. He put a pizza oven in his kitchen. He gets a guy from Mozza Pizza to come over every Sunday night. He screens a movie in his theater, and he has the guy make pizzas for everybody.
Nice.
And as one of the rewards, it was going to be a pizza party at Phil's house, except for that was a year and a half ago, and he forgot all about it. So I had to alert him a few weeks ago that a bunch of strangers were coming over to his pad to eat free pizza.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Yeah.
So listen to this. One of your super fans that also listens to the Kevin and Bean Show lives in Texas. Now, Texas is having an ice storm right now. And yesterday, I think most of the airports were closed. I know Dallas was shut down for a long time. He didn't want to miss the party. He got in his car, Ace, and started driving toward Los Angeles. He's driving from Texas to see the movie with you at Phil's house.
And let me tell you the saddest part about that story. When I see him this evening at Phil Rosenthal's house, and he hasn't showered in 3 days, and there's steam coming out of the front of his F-150, and he says, I drove here from Lubbock. I'm going to go, well, there you go, and keep walking and grab for another piece of pizza.
Oh, no.
It's so sad the way I'm wired.
Totally forget the whole story.
Well, the movie does look great. Again, it's called Road Hard. Get the details on adamcarolla.com. All the info for theaters and nationwide screenings. I can't wait to see it my own self. Hey, the Ace Man is here like he do. It's time for This Week in Rage.
It's time for This Week
in Rage.
Well, starting at 3 and working my way on up to number 1. Was sitting at a Cheesecake Factory with the kids last week. Had the 51-year-old waitress and wanted to sharpen the butter knife and fall on it. I don't know if you guys are wired like I'm wired. Don't mind the young waitress. She's a hot chick. She's working her way through college. She's probably going to end up marrying a producer. Don't mind the old waitress, like when you go to DuPar's and the mummy's out there with the huge brooch and her name is Madge, and you go, look at her. She's made a whole life out of being a waitress. Not a bad gig. The 49 to 55-year-old waitress, I want to kill myself.
Really? Now, what's the distinction there, Adam?
Because the young one isn't going to be doing it 6 months from now. The old one has made a career out of it. This one just is... got divorced, husband moved to Florida, and she's got to go work at the Olive Garden at 51. Probably had some kind of decent career going for herself before the kids in her early 30s. It's depressing to see a 51-year-old waitress. Young, cute, no problemo. Old, over the hill, probably friends with my mom. This middle-aged waitress is depressing, and thus... there should be a hiring ban between 39 and 65.
So let's make it even harder for those people who are at the low point of their life so that they can't get any job.
Exactly what I'm saying.
But they've got to then become older and become the waitresses you like that are older. They don't just all of a sudden become a waitress at 60 to have a career.
You've got to wait it out?
No.
Pardon the pun. Wait it out or get your craft together. Maybe this will act as an effective deterrent. I'm just saying, I can't go to the Olive Garden and see the 51-year-old bringing me the pasta fazool and thinking to myself, what went wrong over and over again?
You're going pretty deep into the backstory of your server, but I hear where you're coming from.
You know what I'm talking about. You don't want to hump her. You don't want to hear stories. You don't get any stories about World War One. There's nothing in it for me.
Except unlimited
bread. Number 2, Oscars. Listen, all you sanctimonious pricks, stop it with the diversity talk in Hollywood when you're the a-holes who do the voting on the movies. You guys are the Academy. They act like the Academy is over there in Kentucky and they're a bunch of long-haul truckers who sit around whittling on a porch and decide whether Selma's going to get the nod or not. You guys are Hollywood. You are the Academy. You're in the Academy. You do the voting. Vote how you will. But don't get up on stage and get all sanctimonious on my ass. You drive me nuts.
So the same people who are the problem, you're saying, are complaining about the problem.
I don't know that there's any other group in society that is so narcissistic and sanctimonious that they get up at their award show that they vote on and talk about why the voting needs to change.
Yeah.
I don't believe they do that in the porn awards. It's not society. It's you guys. You're doing the voting. Get your crap together. All and right. Number one, did you guys see the car chase on Tuesday?
Yes.
Ali, I know you saw it, and I know you loved it. I boycott all car chases, Adam.
It started in, like, Plentywood, Montana, and ended up in Redlands. like, they followed this guy out. It was 2 hours of following the guy, right?
And he was, this is the guy who was going 130 miles an hour, right?
Which tells you how long it was.
And at a certain point, he went into a gated community and dropped somebody off. At that point, by the way, the newscasters who were following the action said, well, perhaps he dropped someone off at his home. First off, I don't want to second guess anybody here. I doubt he lived in a gated community, especially when he drove through the gate. Most folks, you know, punch in the code.
Sure.
And, you know, folks that are fleeing the popo don't live in a gated community. He was in a gated community. There's only two ways out of a gated community. They have gates in front of them. Why not put the cruiser in front of each one? Nope, drove right through the gated community, ended up bashing some guy, some woman, and her young daughter in a head-on collision. All I'm saying is this, cops. Whatever happened to that strip with the spikes on it? Remember the strip with the spikes on it?
The spike strip, really?
Yes, you guys used to roll that. You don't use it anymore? Fine, you pussies are just going to follow these guys until they, what, have to rehydrate? What is it? You're cops. Shoot out the tires, would you, for the love of Christ? Following these guys until they run out of gas, but meanwhile they T-bone my kids in their car with the nanny. That's not the plan. Get out the spike strip. And by the way, if you don't want the spike strip, I could use it. I'll buy it off you. When parent-teacher night rolls around, I'll just slide that thing down the end of the driveway, and I'll be like, well, sweetie, we can hardly go in with four flats, can we?
How conflicted are you, though, if the guy does end up T-boning a car of a woman who's 55 years old and as a waitress at the Olive Garden? Then what do you do,
Adam? Oh, my God. That's just Darwin taking out the trash bin.
That's a tough one. The movie is called Road Hard. You can see the trailer at adamcarolla.com. Get all the info for theaters and nationwide screenings. It really looks very, very funny. It opens up everywhere and on demand next Friday, March the 6th. Adam, have a great week, man, and enjoy your screening, man.
Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, addiction. How have you, besides going, you know, the rehab path,
right?
I'm sure every day is a continuing process of... I don't think I'm a codependent, but I definitely have forms of. I have an addictive personality. I think when it comes to substances,
you eat a lot.
I've learned to cope with it. I actually have anxiety
too.
Yeah, and like that's how I think I tend to turn to substances to kind of cope with that. But
like food.
I find that exercise, like natural things, like exercise works.
Well, yeah, and, all the exercise you do.
Okay, all right, Muggs, we're out of time. I'm sorry, but thank you for stopping by. Hey, Rob,
glad he's giving us some exercise tips because it's really inspiring to watch his endless commitment to physical perfection.
Hey, sometimes he lifts that Pop-Tart to his mouth with his left arm. Sometimes he uses his right arm. Man, that's a commitment to exercise.
What was he talking to you about, Allie, this morning? Something about the air's so great up there when I'm hiking someplace. He's talking about his hiking routine.
Yeah, been hiking 3 miles. No, it's been dipping off lately, but wow, is the air clean when he goes.
His hiking has been dipping off lately, has it? Has he slowed down on all that hiking he does? Muggs, get in here. Get in here, Bear Mug.
We don't have time for this.
I got time for this.
He's eating a sleeve of cookies right now.
Yes.
He's
not committed to his exercise program. You know that, Ralph. We've seen him start and stop so many programs and start and stop so many diets the whole time we've known.
I want to hear about all the hiking. I didn't know you were doing all this hiking
lately. I started hiking up in the Santa Monica mountain range, 3 miles,
right,
in about an hour. And I was going like 5 days a week. And then all of a sudden, nothing.
How long
that
did
was
this
your
go
ace
on?
Team? Is that what
5 days?
Happened?
5 days a week. How many weeks?
I think it was like
half of one.
First, I think it was the first 2 weeks of January.
Almost March.
Yeah. It's almost March.
Shut up about it. You don't get to talk about it 2.5 months later. This is like you when you were up $800 playing poker. Oh, did you go home with it? No, I had a dollar, but still at one point.
Oh, I took February off, and I'm storing up energy.
All right. Yeah, go carbo load.
Fantastic.
Fantastic, indeed.
I think I need a colonic as well.
Get out. My goodness.
You guys sweat a lot.
All right. Thank you.
Right. From one winner to another, let's talk about Lindsay Lohan.
Sure.
Yeah, she has got a probation hearing today, and this should be a good one, because you may not remember we did the story where Lindsay's lawyer went in there defending the fact that while she was in London, Lindsay was taking credit for the meet and greet she was doing after Speed the Plow she was performing in the West End as part of her community service. She would meet with fans, and they claimed that was qualified as community service for her obligation and her probation.
And that is in no way community service.
Right.
There's no service to the community if you meet me and shake my hand.
So the court said, we're going to have to look into this. Well, apparently they have, and everybody's reconvening today in court. We'll find out what happens later. But the prosecutor, Terry White, said he has combed through 240 hours of her community service that was London-based. And apparently, on one day alone, Lindsay got 8 hours of credit for her community service. She has to do 240 hours, right? 6 hours in one day. 2 of the hours were for her matinee performance. She counted the time she was on stage. Another 2 hours were for her evening performance, where she was performing Speed the Plow. And then 2 hours were for the meet and greet afterwards. So 6 hours.
But that's just
total.
Her going to a regular job, though.
Yes, that's all that is. That'd be like being when you had to do your community service for that horrible thing that you did.
The thing that Mark and Brian did. A lot of people get us confused, but that was Mark and Brian, yeah, where they killed that guy, yeah.
And you were picking up trash by the side of the road, if I wasn't mistaken, or cleaning up graffiti or something? If you'd just gone to work and said, oh, well, I'm servicing the community because I'm talking about the Edmund Fitzgerald.
That makes no sense.
Makes no sense at all. So,
well, they're going to slap her down and hopefully just double or triple her time that she has to serve now, I hope, right?
Well, we'll see. I mean, potentially she could do jail time.
All right.
We'll have to wait and see.
Again.
Lady Gaga in the news. This just broke this morning. Kind of exciting news. She has signed to become the star of the 5th season of the upcoming American Horror Story on FX.
I like it.
I like it, too.
I like it a lot.
I don't know what the premise of the new season is. You know, every season they have a different tack. It was a coven one season. This past season, of course, has been a freak show. They're not saying what the premise is or what her role will be, but she will be starring in it for the season. So that's pretty cool.
I'm being told, Ralph,
yes,
that it is American Horror Story Hotel.
She's going to be a maid.
I'm not sure about that. She could just be staying in a hotel, yeah, but
it's going to be a bellboy, bell girl.
But that has a lot of interesting.
Well, hotels can be terrifying.
Yeah, absolutely.
Especially if you have a black light. I think it's especially scary.
Yes, absolutely.
Then it's the Alabama Hot Pocket all over the place. You know what I'm saying?
Don't Google it. Don't, you guys.
That has taken off, by the way. Hashtag Alabama Hot Pocket.
I'm terrified by that.
It's all over Twitter this morning. And people are very upset with us, by the way.
It's the new hot fudge holy moly, literally.
It really is. It is
don't
the
Google
hot
it.
Fudge holy moly.
We were talking last hour, Ralph, about how we wondered if Lady Gaga had done any acting, and one of our listeners reminded us that she had a cameo in the second Machete movie.
We got schooled. She was also in, oh, damn it. I retweeted it. Someone else mentioned it. It was another film she did, too, that she was in. Help me out. Right. Somebody in the other room, help me out. Gaga was in Machete Kills, the second Machete, and she also was in another movie. Oh, the Sin City sequel. Dame to Kill For, Sin City 2. She was also in that.
So she's done a little bit of acting.
Yes,
before.
She has. So it'll be good. Thanks for all your help, by the way, in the room. I appreciate it.
Hey, I told Chip. She didn't say it. It's her fault.
You didn't say it, Chip. She's got little ears. She can't hear all those big words. A quick email. Do we have time before I get to celebrity birthdays? This is from Peter Grillo. Listener Peter Grillo is upset with something about the Oscars. I wanted to bring this up. Ralph, my man, you're right, of course, about how actors deserve the spotlight and time for their speeches at the Oscars. This is when we're talking about the Oscar Awards. They spend years perfecting their craft, and to begrudge them a few moments at the podium seems wrong. I wish they would stay away from the political stuff, however, he writes. At the Technical Awards, for example, that one guy went on and on about Hillary's failures as Secretary of State. I mean, come on, it's an award show. Just shut up about Benghazi. Just shut up about Benghazi.
Five.
Just shut up about Benghazi.
Five.
Just shut up about Benghazi.
Five.
Let's not reward Peter Grillo for sending these in by reading
this is a thing.
It's not a thing.
It's an official thing, and
it's
I couldn't be happier.
Definitely not a thing.
We haven't had a thing in a while. I'm happy to have a thing. Today's celebrity birthdays, Sean Astin. He is a hobbit. And let's not forget, he was Rudy. Mother effing Rudy, too.
That's right, man.
44 years old today. Rashida Jones turns 39. She was just on the Parks and Rec series finale last night.
Chelsea Handler turns 40 years old today. Comedian Carrot Top is 50. And actress Taye Leone, she's Madam Secretary. On CBS, she's 49. Ralph Garman walked the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. By the way, Kevin will be back. And he's just out of town for a couple of days on scheduled business, but he will be back maybe tomorrow, maybe Friday. But we do have a good show planned for you tomorrow, including our friend Jim Rome talking sports.
That's right. Talking sports with legends, Kevin and Bean. You guys are legends.
Also our weekly visit with Dr. Drew Pinsky tomorrow.
Not a real doctor.
Brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup on the show tomorrow. And I am being told that another trip to New Orleans tomorrow. Thanks to our friends at Focus.
We are. Thanks to the movie Focus. We're giving away another trip.
No, it's a pretty sweet deal.
That's crazy.
That's on the Thursday Kevin and Bean Show. We'll see you then.